ജയമിഷ്ടപാദപരമഹംസപരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശതശ്രീശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തവേദാന്തഗോസ്വാമി ഹരശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിഥില്യാപ്രവിഷ്ടവിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശതശ്രീശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേമപ്രഭു ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഓ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശ്രീ ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോഷ്ടപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീതാം തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യാനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകതാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സുപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാന് സഹഗണ ലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദൈവേഹി പ്രഭവേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദാം ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദിനധാരിണേ ഉപനൂഗവിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തധ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമ നമോ ഭക്തി വിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോ ഗൗരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവ ഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ നേ നമ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ നമോ മഹാവദാന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാക്തിയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധു ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരദോപാംഗോർ മമം മന്ദമദീർഘതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനവും ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദൌ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാധാ ശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവൌ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭിഃ സേവ്യമാനൌ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദംബി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാന് വേണുസ്വനേ ഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥാ ശ്രീയേസ്തുന തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭുനിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare last time when we discussed Bhagavad Gita from the 12th chapter, evam Arjuna vacha, evam satatayuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasade ejapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ge yogavitama. This was Arjuna's question. In answer to that, he started the second verse where Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Vacham, Maya Vishya Mano Yemam, Nitya Yukta Upasade, Shraddhaya Parayo Vedasthemi Yukta Ramo Mada. It's a very interesting question and a very interesting answer as well from Krishna. Because if you remember in the 11th chapter when we discussed the universal form, at the end of that chapter, Krishna mentions to Arjuna that mal karmaha mal paraha mal bhaktaha sangavarjidaha nirvairaha sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. 4 or 5 things he mentioned in one verse. Mal karmaha mal paraha, Krishna says there. So Krishna mentions there that if you go in that last verse of the 11th chapter, which was just an introduction to the Bhakti Yoga chapter or the 12th chapter, Krishna says, completely able to absorb the mind in Krishna. Able to absorb the mind in Krishna. In other words, able to remember that I am not this body. That is the first thing. Otherwise, that is not Krishna. If you think that you can remember the form of Krishna, that is not easy. And that is not what is expected also from us. More than that, to remember that I am not this body, spirit, soul. Spiritual consciousness is what is expected. That is why malparaha, Krishna mentions there, malkarma malparaha, that mayavesha manaha. In this second verse, you can see again Krishna brings that back, mayavesha mana. mayavesha manoyemam nitya yukta upasade. That means mind absorbed in me, Krishna saying that upasade nitya yuktaha. Nitya yukta means always unbroken, in other words continuously, uninterruptedly upasade. Then Krishna says shraddhaya, that shraddha is what is to be acquired. That shraddha is to be acquired. We are finding it very difficult to acquire that shraddha. That is our greatest weakness, isn't it? We don't have the shraddha. Shraddha is not there. Shraddha is somewhere else. And therefore we have problems all the time. You can see how, if one does not study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, how one will go completely off the track and act independently without properly knowing what is the science of Krishna consciousness. You can see so many examples there in the Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, that people take Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and take their own interpretations of that, where a problem starts. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this famous story of Sudama, how much it's been misunderstood by many, many people, majority of the people, many people, if you ask, you will, they'll get you, they'll give you the answer that Sudama was a very poor man. He didn't have any money. So he went to Krishna. And you know what Krishna did? Gave him a lot of money. And he went home happy. This is what they have understood after reading the two chapters of Sudama's story in the Bhagavatam. So like this, people form different opinion from the Shastram because they don't study it. They don't learn properly and they form their own understanding according to their own mind. Because that is what the story is saying. Story is saying he was very poor and he went to Krishna. His wife told him, go and get some money from him. So she went. And then the lot of people have this understanding about Sudama. They don't understand what Sudama means actually. So that is why Sukadeva Goswami, when he began that chapter itself, he started saying like Krishnasya sil sakhe kaschil brahmano brahma vittamam viraktaha indriyarteshu. A lot of adjectives for Sudama. What is Sudama actually is? Sudama, Sukadeva Goswami says, Krishnasya sil sakhe kaschil. Krishna had a great friend in his childhood. What kind of friend? Brahmana, Brahmavittama. He was both a Brahmana and he was a realized soul. Brahmavittama. Brahmavit means one who is self-realized. Brahmana, Brahmavittama. Then, Brahmana, Brahmavittama. Viraktaha. Completely detached from this world. Completely detached from this world. Virakta indriyarteshu, if you, Bhagavadam says, virakta indriyarteshu, indriyarteshu viraktaha. In other words, there was no, he had no attachment anywhere. Virakta indriyarteshu. So he begins this with that. You will see in the Bhagavadam how he introduces him. Virakto indriyarteshu, then what else? Prashandalpa jitendriyam. So many things spoken about Sudama. Sudama had no interest in money. Sudama had no interest in the money. Sudama was not interested in asking Krishna anything. There is that whole discussion about Bhagavadam. It's so important to understand that how people misunderstand from Bhagavadam so many things. They understand their own way. What can you do? So, Krishnasya sil sakha kaschil brahmano brahmavittama. He was a Brahman realized soul, viraktaha, completely detached from this world. Indriyarteshu, there is absolutely complete control over the senses. No interest in any of kind of sense gratification. Prashandalpa jidendriyaham. Prashandalpa, that shanti, absolute peacefulness inside such a realized soul was Sudama. And people say that he wanted some money. He wanted money, so he went to Krishna for that. This is how people understand. They read that story of Sudama and they say that Sudama got wealthy because Krishna gave him a lot of money. Why can't we also do the same thing? So, if you keep on studying that chapter properly, you will see there that how Sudama arrived in Dwaraka. Dwaraka was not very far from Sudama's place. If he wanted to go and see Krishna, he would have gone before. But self-realization is like that, that very complete conscience of Krishna's presence inside, and that realized to say he didn't feel any need to go to Dwaraka. He didn't feel any need to go to Dwaraka. It was only due to Grihe Kalyani Diyatam. His wife wanted, she was finding it difficult to manage the house. And she requested Sudama, why not go and see him one day? And that's all it happened. That's how it started. What I'm saying is that it is important to know how Sukadeva Goswami and Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And if we do not know that, then we will give our own spin on that and will our own understanding on that. So that's where the problem. It's so many instances in the Bhagavatam you will see this. They say Mahabali had been sent to Sutalam, and Krishna put his Vamanamurti put his feet on Mahabali's head and sent him down to Padala Lokam. They say like that. All kinds of understanding from the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam doesn't say anything like that, but still a story. The storytellers create all this problem. There are a lot of storytellers. They keep telling stories and they keep on expanding the stories. And those who hear these stories all the time, they pick up all sorts of things from that storytelling business. So story, this is one of the difficulties, that without tattvam, if you go for the stories alone, you will end up in the same situation. So here, Krishna is saying, malkarma krita malparama malbhaktaha sangavarjidaha. So nitya yukta upasade. So that shraddha, you can see in the end, reply Krishna is saying there, mayavesha manoyema nitya yukta upasate shraddhaya. That word shraddha means a lot in that verse. Shraddhaya. So when you have shraddha, you go up in spiritual life. When you have no shraddha, you go down. That is the principle. Therefore, shraddhaya parayo bedasa. So it is for this reason only that devotee's requirement is that they mutually pay obeisances. What for? Why do they pay obeisances each other? Because for bhakti process, it is an important thing. You will see in the Bhagavadam, the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavadam itself, it means dharma prajita kayotra varamo nirmat saranam, the matsaryam. Matsaryam means competition. So bhakti process is simple, but requirement is nirmal saranam satam vedyam. That is a requirement. Nirmal saranam satam vedyam, says Vedavyasa Maharshi. Nirmal saranam satam vedyam. That means if there is competition, bhakti won't work. Bhakti will not work. If there is competition in the people's mind, bhakti will not work. So, in other words, when there is you and me, bhakti will not work, because you and me means competition will come in there. So that is why the understanding of bhakti is in that state, that when one realizes that, when you don't have any competition with anybody else, and when you realize that, if you have nothing to earn from this world, adhyatma margam or spiritual life is much easy. It's a lot easier. So, in the spiritual life, if there is anybody in front of us, for the sake of name, fame, or money, or position, whatever it may be, then there will be trouble. So nobody can, actually you can see here, that there is always in this world, there will be someone in front of you. There is always somebody in front of you. No matter how famous you are, there will be someone who is more famous than you. So that's the way the world works. But, so it is important to know that to wander, run after these things will not help in the process of bhakti. That is the first understanding. Narmal saranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tavatrayon mulanam. It says here. So you can see that they give the example of mirage, isn't it? Just like you keep seeing there something, there is water, you start thinking and keep running after that, but you realize later there is no water there. In the same way, everything in this world, running after anything, will end up in the same situation. No matter somebody is rich, there will be always someone who is richer than him. And similarly, there will be no end to that at all. So the whole life you will spend in this way, chasing this and chasing that. So there is no end to these things, because our shraddha is in the world outside. Yo ya shraddha sa eva saha. Wherever you have shraddha, that is the beauty of this shraddha. Wherever you have the shraddha, that it is a very amazing phenomenon, this thing called shraddha. Shraddha means, actually, what is shraddha? We may not understand that fully. We say that it is coming from the chit shakti, from the soul. Shraddha is a powerful force that comes from the soul. In other words, another way to explain that in the Vedantam, it says, Andaryami, or the super soul, its dreaming power is this shraddha. Andaryami inside, when it dreams, that is what is called shraddha. So when we hear something like liberation or moksham or liberation, something like that, that will immediately hit someone and it drops a seed in his mind. So he'll start thinking about this liberation, but he can't go beyond than that. Does not know what it is. Does not know what liberation means. So it is only when that seed gets sprouted inside, and when one gets that strength from there, from the Shraddha, when the Shraddha gets stronger, it is the power of that that one gets to have the possibility of a association with a spiritual master, or you get an opportunity for performing a particular route in sadhana process, and also you get the opportunity to go towards the truth. All these things happens from the Shraddha inside. One way of saying that is Antaryamis or super souls, dreaming power is the Shraddha. What we talk about Shraddha means. Shraddha is a very difficult word to define, but we know it. What it means is that when Shraddha is there in a person, he will go in that direction. Whichever way the Shraddha is established, he'll go in that direction. So one gets liberated because of Shraddha only. Everything is the power of that the dream power inside what one has got. We don't know when we do certain things in this world, inside that power is driving us to go and do something. And that powerful force inside, what comes out is that Shraddha. What it is called as? Shraddha. So whichever direction that Shraddha goes, he will take that as the truth, and he will put his effort and all his energy in that direction. In that direction. That's the way it is. The way this body and the mind works in this world is like that. Suppose somebody is fully convinced that money will save him from all problems, money is a whole important matter for him, then he will take that as the whole objective in life, and his attention, Shraddha, everything will be on that, no matter what other problems comes in life, in whichever direction, till his strength inside is on the attention or focused on the Shraddha, everything will go in that direction. But you can also see the other side of it. The money what we are talking about in this world, he has a different one perception. That means money for him is cash, banknotes or whatever that is. And suppose our economic system has changed, the way we are now operating. Suppose this economic system has changed. And if that's it, when the system changes, they have brought in some other system in this world for our economic reasons. But and all these banknotes have lost its value. Suppose imagine that situation, which has happened many times in the history, isn't it? World War II, World War I also has happened. So many times this has happened that we have seen this, that the banknotes has lost its value. It was nothing, no value for the banknotes. So you can see here, so till yesterday, all your dreams, energy, force, power, everything was directed towards earning money, in collecting a lot of money. Money in the bank account or banks, whatever it was kept. So much attention and seriousness on that. But it's overnight, everything gone. Everything changed. So what will happen to the Shraddha then? What that Shraddha... So Shraddha, to say that, the important factor is, Shraddha is such a powerful force that all knowing all these things, still we are not able to give it up. That Shraddha is placed on the wrong point sometimes. So similarly, in somewhere you have found some fulfillment in life. That's what it is. Somewhere we have found some fulfillment, and that power inside us has developed and grow up inside us, a big force, strong force. And when we see the money, mind goes towards the money. Suppose in a similar way, someone else, fame is important in life. So all his Shraddha will be on that, how to become famous. He will do everything what's necessary to become famous in this world. He will organize people, hype it up somehow, all the media and all other possibilities of expanding his fame. He will work in that direction. This is due to the Shraddha there. When Shraddha is the money, it will go in that direction. Shraddha is towards fame, it will go in that direction. So you can see in everything, whether it is money, whether it is fame, or or suppose somebody is attracted to beauty, he will go in that direction. So wherever it is, this word Shraddha has a very powerful force on everyone, operating in a very subtle level, but very forcefully it's operating there. And that's what's operating so many people in so many, doing so many wonders in this world. Whether it's material life or spiritual life, it doesn't matter. It comes equally powerful in both ways, because it is Shraddha. And that Shraddha is Krishna is bringing in this verse. Maya veshyamano yemam nitya yuktam upasate shraddhaya pareyopedaste me yuktatamo madaha. Krishna's answer is with that word Shraddha, isn't it? With that word Shraddha. So that dream power, it is a dream power, comes from the Antaryami, from the source, from the soul. That becomes a magic word, in other words. Magic word. So everything is like that in this world. Everything is like that. The holy name is like that. Some people, they have no taste for the holy name, to chant the holy name. They have no taste for that. And same holy name, when it comes through the lips of a pure devotee, it becomes, and it gets a very unusual power for the same holy name when it comes through the lips of a devotee. Because that is his dream inside. That power of the dream power of the soul, Antaryami, is in those holy names when he chants the holy name. So they are able to pack Krishna and the Krishna consciousness into that holy name when they chant the holy name. So and that is the way it is. So actually, liberated souls, their body itself is a unusual phenomenon, isn't it? Unusual phenomenon. Because the body, we call it a Swapna Shariram. It's also a dream body. And in reality, everyone's body is a dream body only. But many of our bodies, which is because of the lust and anger and greed inside, our body is that body made of all these things in our body. But their body is also dream body, but because there is no trace of any anger or greed or lust or anything like that. And in from him, in such a person, this when they chant the holy name, and therefore that same effect will permeate into the vacant state as well. Permeate into the vacant state as well. In other words, if you notice one thing, between the vacant state and the deep sleep state, between the vacant state and the deep sleep state, that is the link, isn't it? Dream state is the link between the vacant state and the dream state. So that power, binding power between the vacant and the dream state, is that between the vacant state and the deep sleep state, is that dream, is that dream state. So when we are absorbed in thoughts of sense gratification, it will become, that dream also will develop into sense gratification. The dream also will turn into sense gratification. Same dream state, if it becomes Krishna conscious, in other words, and we will start seeing another side of life, which means that is the state where pure devotees dream about the spiritual world, like what we call it as Goloka Vrindavanam, Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Govardhanam. All different states of spiritual realization is in their dream state. It is in the dream state that power comes out. The Shraddha comes out in the dream state very clearly. Dream state is an indication of where our Shraddha is. Wherever Shraddha is. That's why the Shraddha Shakti, or the power of Shraddha, which comes from the soul, comes out very forcefully in the dream. In the dream. So, therefore, Krishna is mentioning here, Shraddhaya Parayobedaste Me Yuktatamo Madam. So, when one has fixed inside that his goal is to move away from here, in other words, to free once for all from the material life and material world, then it will come in his as a Swapna Shakti, in other words, a dream power in his dreams. It will appear. As energy, it will appear in his dream power. And start realizing that the eternal truth or eternal reality and what is pure, that what you get once for all, that is the ultimate goal, and he'll start seeing something which is permanent and which is eternal, and as well as from there he experiences a dream which is completely different from this world. Normally people who are have a anger, all the material conditioning, for example, lust, anger, greed, and all other material thoughts, one who has got such material thoughts, you will see invariably that they will have its impact in the dream state, in the dream state. But those who have gone beyond, they will notice also this one thing, that they will start seeing dreams. First the dreams comes up. In the dream state they start experiencing the spiritual world. The spiritual world, which means our different perceptions, like different logam, different worlds beyond the death, beyond death. So the indication is that the dream state first gets beginning of that. And that's why Shraddha is a source, is a power that's originating from the Antaryami inside, from the super soul inside, from the self. It comes first. Depending on that Shraddha, the dream will go. Depending on that Shraddha, the dream will go. Many Mahatmas, they don't dream about world. They dream about the spiritual world. They dream about the spiritual world. It's an indication of that Shraddha has already gone that far. Whereas majority of us, we will have all our mundane thoughts, mundane feelings, mundane emotions. This will all start building up in our dream. Is it not? We know very well that how our dreams are. We have to be honest ourselves. We have to look at our own dreams and see what's happening there. So it is that Shraddha that makes that big shift. And that is why Krishna is saying here, Shraddhaya parayo vedasteme yukta tamo mada. Krishna is saying, Shraddha is important. Without Shraddha, nothing is going to happen, Krishna says. Spiritual life is not simple, doing a lot of things and going to happen. It's not going to happen. Shraddha is more important than doing a lot. That Shraddha hasn't come, and therefore we have difficulty in spiritual life. Shraddha hasn't come. And it has to be spoken that way, because it is from Shraddha everything has come. Everything is coming. That Shraddha is like this. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha. That's the definition. Shastram Guruvakyam. Shastram and the words of spiritual master, Satya Buddhyavadharana. That alone is the truth. That acceptance inside is necessary. That doesn't happen. And when that doesn't happen, Shraddha won't be there in that person. Externally, he may be doing a lot of things, he has been told, but Shraddha hasn't developed inside. Krishna is saying here in this Bhakti Yogam chapter as an introduction that Maya Vesha Mano Yamam Nitya Yukta Upasade Shraddhaya Pareyo Vedasteme Yukta Damomada. The Shraddha, Krishna gives a lot of importance in this chapter. That Shraddha. Shraddha is such an important factor. So here then Krishna says, those devotee who Maya Vesha Mano Yamam. That Mayavishya means their mind is 24 hours in the thoughts of Krishna. Krishna means, how do we understand Krishna? The reality, absolute truth, the soul, in other words. They are moved away from the platform of the body. Actually, it is difficult to explain this in a detailed way, because what's happening is that we have to remember Krishna has given certain indications to us in Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? He mentions in the 9th chapter, you will see there, he mentions there that, that we'll see that verses. While talking about the process of bhakti, Krishna is saying, It's very interesting how Krishna mentions that. Abhijayat Sudharacharo Bhajademam Ananya Bhak Sadhureva Samandavya Samyak Vyavasido Hisa. Krishna is saying that it doesn't matter. Normally in the Vaidika tradition, there is a process, isn't it? Process is that one who takes birth in a good background, good family, who gets a good training in the early days in life, had a good opportunity to get the right knowledge at the right time in life. It's important, isn't it? It is important. Anybody can understand that. If you look at it in a impartial way, if at the early ages in life, if one gets association, the right association, and gets the right instruction in spiritual life, and the training, it makes life a lot easier. Most of the peoples in the modern world, the life is so different, isn't it? Most of us don't have that opportunity. We come to spiritual life after tossed by the material nature a lot, isn't it? That's when we come to spiritual life, when we experience the miseries of material life. And by now, what has happened is our body and mind got used to so many unwanted sense gratification, and when the body and mind could only absorb the right knowledge at a particular time in life, very early in life, like Prahlada says there, Kaumara Ajayat Prajna. So, Kaumara Ajayat Prajna Dharmam Bhagavadaniha. Bhagavad Dharmam, he says, start from the early age, very early in life, so that before, they give the example like this, if there is a nice ripened fruit in mango on the tree, if a parrot comes and bites it, then it is not pure anymore. If any bird comes and bites it, you can't offer that to the deities or to Krishna. But when it is fully ripe, it should be used for the right purpose, offering to the deities or offering to Krishna. So, once it is bitten, because good first-class ripened mango fruits, the parrots will come and at least taste it, and then they may not eat the whole mango, they'll go away. But once it is bitten by the fruit, by the parrot, you can't offer that. Similarly, this human body also, before it gets completely spoiled by sense gratification and by all sorts of mundane education and mundane thoughts, and bodily concept of life has grown so strong inside, all avidya, ignorance has grown big inside. And in the later date, we are trying to change the whole thing back to take to Krishna consciousness. So here Krishna is saying there, Mahatma, the word he has used is Abhijayat Sudharacharo Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhak Sadur Eva Samandavya Samyag Vyavasido Hisa. There is a verse there. He's saying that suppose someone, it is the 30th verse here, 30 in chapter 9. Yeah. He says here, it's interesting this, even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered sanely because he is properly situated. Now you can read this verse and think, oh, I'm doing devotional service, now I'm okay. Very easy to go in that route, isn't it? But it's not that simple. So a lot of things in that verse, Krishna is packed into it. Krishna is saying, Abhijayat Sudharacharo. Durachari means one who has only performed bad things in life, sinful activities, all sorts of sinful things. Sudharacari means one who has done in a high degree, on a very deeper level, bad things, he has performed that. Such a person, Krishna says, Bhajademam Ananya Bhak. Ananya Bhak is me. The word Ananya comes there also. You can see that so many different places Ananya is spoken. Ananya means that if he surrenders to me, Krishna is saying, he is not a bad person anymore. He is a sadhu. He said, provided he is surrender first. You can't play the game there with Krishna. Anything else is possible. That Bhajademam Ananya Bhak means Ananya. Anya Shrayanam Tyagaha Ananyadaha. That is the principle. So till there is surrender, Krishna says, even though he may not have any qualifications from his past record, past track record is not very good. He hasn't had any opportunity to develop spiritually in his life, in the past life. he was completely educated in the wrong way and picked up all the bad things in this world and spent all his energy, that Shraddha power inside, in acquiring in the wrong direction. Because his Shraddha was on the wrong things like money, sense gratification and fame, followers, all these things. Krishna says it doesn't matter. If it comes to this point, Bhajadevam Ananya Bhag, that is the qualification, Ananyatvam. Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha, says Narada Maharshi in the Bhakti Sutra, isn't it? So if he is surrendered there, Krishna says, he is a sadhu. You will see this in this world, many, many places this has happened. This Krishna's words are true. Many people who have come from such difficult backgrounds, but because they surrendered to Krishna, they have gone far beyond those who have taken birth in good families and good training, and sometimes even bypassed them and went further in spiritual life. Only because of this one qualification, Ananyata, Ananyatam. So there, Bhajadevam Ananya Bhag, Krishna saying, Sadhureva Samandavya Samyang Vyavasidohisa. So sadhu, he has to be considered as a sadhu, and Samya, completely Vyavasidohisa, he is situated in the proper plane. Proper plane, this is the point Krishna is saying there. Immediately after that, in the very next verse, Krishna say, asking a question, Kim punar brahmana punya dharma kshipram bhavati dharmaatma shashvat shantim nagacchati kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna is talking about such a person, that kshipram bhavati dharmaatma, such a person, he will become a dharmaatma very, very, very quickly. He will become a great soul, he says there. All saying that, then he says to him, that then he gave the in a 3-4 categories. He spoke about that. Mamhi bhartha vibhashate yebisu papayonyo striyo vaishyas tada shudra sebiyadi parangadim. That what to talk about them, that even them, Krishna says here, who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas as well as shudras, they can approach me, the supreme destination. So few things Krishna mentions there, and then he says, Kim punar brahmana brahmana punyam bhakta rajarshayastada. What to talk about the brahmanas and the rajarshis, kings in other words, brahmanas and the rajarshis. Why anityam asukham logam imam prapya vajasvama. Krishna is saying that till we come to this point, anityam asukham logam, three things. On these first two things, we can't do anything about it. Anityam, asukham, we can't do anything about it. Who is saying this? Krishna himself, isn't it? The person who has created this whole creation, he himself is telling us that I have created it like this. Anityam, asukham. It is temporary and it is full of misery. So, till we come to accept what Krishna is saying, there is no hope of spiritual progress in life. It's not possible. We have to firmly accept this, that Krishna is saying, Krishna created the world, and Krishna is telling us it's temporary. And Krishna is also telling us that it is full of misery. It's full of misery. We will say, oh no, it's not too bad. It's okay, I'm getting a good salary, good job, I'm paying my mortgage, house is there, family is there, children are okay. Everything. For us, it's different. We are not accepted Krishna's words, anything in us, isn't it? So where is the possibility? Then we are saying that, oh, it's too much, all this spiritual life is very difficult. So how is that? Because the reason is this, that in the Vaidika system or in the Vedic tradition itself, that there are everything in the Vedas. There is Vedas, there is for material progress also, there is instructions in the Vedas. If you read Vedas, you will see many parts, there's a lot of things are for material advancement. They're performing sacrifices and yajnam, everything for material advancement, to sufficient wealth and sufficient health, wealth and everything, good things in life. We want. Vedas don't say don't have it. You see, you can have it. But if you are in that stage, then it is difficult to accept Bhagavad Gita. That's the problem. If somebody is in that stage, then they are in that stage, they should chant the Vedic hymns and be satisfied with that. Better not to take to Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita is saying, it is something beyond that Vedic injunctions there. In the Vedas, there is instructions for acquiring cows, acquiring a lot of food grains, vegetables, everything, so that your material life is very comfortable. And this is in the Vedas. It is in the Vedas. And many people who are infatuated with that, they will go in that direction. There's nothing you can. There's nothing to be spoken badly about them, because they are also correct. They're also right. Because if in our development, our Shraddha is only reached that state, then we have to wait till the Shraddha changes. Till the Shraddha changes. Now, you know that in Bhagavad Gita, there is this Karmakandam. Right? Karmakandam is spoken about. Karmakandam Krishna discusses in the Bhagavad Gita earlier. Now, you will hear often people reading that and saying that this Karmakandam section is not a good thing. No, it is a good thing. In that stage, that Karmakandam is necessary for them. That stage, that Karmakandam is necessary for them. Why? Karmakandam is also a bona fide process in the Vedic philosophy. Karmakandam is not something to be completely written off. It's also a bona fide process, but it is meant for those who are in that state of consciousness. And from the Vedic point of view, in the modern world, if you bring in relationship with that, most of our activities don't even fall into the Vedic category. Because of that, the people who are criticizing Karmakandam, they should know this, that they themselves are not properly situated. They are absorbed in all demonic activities. And these are the people sitting and creating, criticizing Vedas, Karmakandam. Imagine that. People who are engaged in very many demonic activities in this world, they talk about Karmakandam and they denounce Karmakandam and say it is not for us, we have rejected Karmakandam. But remember this, Karmakandam is superior to all our work, what we do in the factory and the offices. We are lower than that. We are lower than that. When we accept any kind of work in this world, in this modern world, any kind of activity, most of it is even lower than the Karmakandam. Even lower than the Karmakandam. We don't remember, we don't think like that. We think, oh, we are perfectly situated. We are not perfectly situated. What's the point in talking about it? So, Krishna is saying here that even though it may be all like that, Kim Punar Brahmana Punyam Bhaktarajarshayastada Anityam Asukham Logam. So, to come to that understanding, Anityam Asukham Logam. Logam is Anityam, Logam is Asukham. Material world is temporary and material world is full of misery. This acceptance has to come first. And when the Shraddha has fallen on that, then it is possible to execute Bhakti Yogam. To execute Bhakti Yogam in a proper way. Otherwise it's difficult. It's not possible. That is what Krishna is saying here. That's why Krishna stressed that word Shraddha in that verse. Mayavesha manoyemam nitya yuktam upasade Shraddhaya parayo bedaste me yukta tamo mata. So, while saying this, Krishna says here, only from bhavana. So, mayavesha manoyemam nityayuktopasai. It is from that imagination that the knowledge comes. Imagination that the knowledge comes. Otherwise, it will come. Because when bhakti, shraddha develops inside, naturally attention goes towards the soul. Goes towards the soul. When the attention goes towards the soul, inquiry begins. What is soul? Who am I? What is this me, I am talking about? Who is this me inside? This inquiry has to begin inside. You will see in the second chapter, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? That abhavayata shantir ashandasya kuta sukham. Is it not? Ashandasya kuta sukham. If you look into the second chapter, you will see a verse there. I think it's the 66th chapter verse in the second chapter. Yeah. Nasti buddhira yuktasya na jayuktasya bhavana na jabhavayata shandir ashandasya kutasukham. Look at that verse. That this is the picture Krishna is presenting to us. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya naja ayuktasya bhavana naja bhavayata shandi ashandasya kutasukham. One follows the other. So Krishna says here, nasti buddhir ayuktasya, one who is not in transcendental consciousness,
one who does not have transcendental consciousness, he can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence. Najayuktasya bhavana. And without which there is no possibility of peace. See that word bhavana there. Bhavana, you see that bhavana? Bhavana means that Prabhupada is given the translation that can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence. This is one way of putting that word bhavana. But bhavana actually means like this, that inside you there is some dream developing there. That is bhavana. That bhavana shakti is that dream power that comes out. And the it is spoken like this, that bhavana, actual meaning of that word bhavana is that it is expressing your inside thoughts very strongly. It comes through that. That is bhavana. So here, you will see here, that without that bhavana, there is no possibility of shanti inside. Knowledge, and without knowledge, there is no peace. That's Krishna saying there, isn't it? Na cha bhavayata shantir. Without proper bhavana inside, because it is such an important thing, you can see in people's life, because there is no proper bhavana developing inside, there is no shanti inside. And because there is no shanti inside, there is no happiness inside. Always feeling distressed in life, always feeling disturbed in life. Naja bhavayada shandir, ashandasya kuta sukham. Krishna is saying, one who has got no shanti inside, ashandi always I, where is the possibility of any sukham for that person? That's Krishna's question here. So you can see that Shraddha, what Krishna has spoken here, comes from that bhavana inside. Bhavana is an indication of that Shraddha actually. Wherever our Shraddha is, there will be, the bhavana will be centered around that Shraddha.
So is bhavana and Shraddha same?
No, I was talking about it before it came. What it is? Bhavana means Shraddha, first you have to understand. I can't keep repeating the same thing again and again. Shraddha means that Shraddha that has come from the soul, that energy, that develops in the form of bhavana, which comes, expresses itself in the dream. So Shraddha and bhavana, they are very closely connected. It is from that bhavana everything happens later. Krishna is saying, if the Shraddha is in the right place, the bhavana will be right. If the bhavana is right, based on that bhavana, what will happen is that ashandasya kutasugam. Krishna is asking that Shraddhaya naja bhavayata shanti. From bhavana, shanti has to come. Shanti has to come. Because there is no shanti, it indicates that there is the proper bhavana is not there. If the proper bhavana is not there, Shraddha is not there. That's where it follows one to another. From Shraddha, it comes bhavana. And from bhavana comes shanti. And from shanti comes happiness, sukham. That is the sequence it flows. So Krishna is saying again here that the same thing you will see in other philosophies also, it's not much different. Mimamsakas puts it in another way. Bhavituhu bhavananukulaha vyapara visheshaka. Mimamsaka says here. That Mimamsaka's point is that karmam has no power of its own, but behind the karmam there is a bhavana there. And that bhavana develops the result from that karma. Bhavana develops the results from karma. So, and where does that bhavana come? Bhavana comes from Shraddha. Bhavana comes from Shraddha. So, wherever your Shraddha is, according to your bhavana. And wherever the bhavana is, according to that, your action also. So, why I'm saying this is, in this chapter, when Bhakti Yogam, Krishna is going to say that the bhakti, what the proper way, Krishna explains bhakti in this chapter, will develop everything from this bhavana. And that bhavana will depend on the Shraddha inside. Without all these things, it will simply become a mechanical affair. We'll be doing a lot of things with the body and mind, but it may not have the absorption inside. So that is why it mentions here that from all things what goes on in this world, in whatever level, behind that, this amazing power, Shraddha, is operating. And that is what it's called, Shraddha, isn't it? That's what it is called, Shraddha. So, Shraddha is, Krishna says here also, in another way, that when you look into this second chapter, you'll find that there is a, in the Vedam, what is known as Medha Suktam. Medha Suktam means, like we have Purusha Suktam prayers, Narayana Suktam, Shri Suktam, like that there are so many prayers which are addressing to develop our power of reception, power of absorption, power of Medha. Medha means that ability to grasp things in the proper way. It's called Medha. There is a Medha Suktam which is famous in the Vedas, recited by those who are following that tradition seriously. So there, what it says is that in the Medha Suktam, one of the prayers says, Toya Jushtam, Toya Jushta Rishir Bhavadi Devi, Toya Brahmagada Shri Ruda, Toya Toya Jushus Chitram, Vindadeva Susanu, Jushusya Dravino Namethe. Medha Suktam goes into many verses. In there, it mentions there that addressing the Shraddha, when that Shraddha develops inside, Medha Suktam says there, that when the Shraddha develops inside, that once I have touched that Medha, Medha means Medha Shakti. Medha Shakti means that it is an aspect of the Shraddha, Shraddha Shakti, that he becomes a saintly person. He becomes a saintly person. Vedam is saying like this, if you have touched the Shraddha, Shraddha means, another word is used is Medha Shakti. Medha is another word used in the Upanishads. Though once you have touched that, which is from the soul emanating, from the Shraddha Shakti, immediately it takes control of the person. Control of the person. You can see in the Kathopanishad this thing, what has happened to Nachiketas. What has happened to Nachiketas. If you look into the Kathopanishad first and second verse, it is interesting. The Rishi is saying to us that it has hit him very hard, that Shraddha has come to him in such a higher level. What does it say? It says, first verse is, Om Ushanhave Vajashravasaha Sarva Vedasam Dado Tasyaha Najigeta Nama Putra Asam. There was a king by name, it's a simple verse, Vajashravasa. He was performing a great sacrifice, and in that sacrifice he offered all his wealth. And he had a very famous son whose name was Nachiketas. Nachiketas was his son's name. Then it says in the next verse, Tam ha kumaram sandam dakshinasu niyamanasu shraddha avivesham so amanyatam. What happened was that ta ham kumaram. So when they brought all the cows to give in sacrifice for charity, to be given in charity after the sacrifice, when they brought them, Nachiketas, who was only a very little boy, 5-6 years old, Shraddha Avivesha. In him, that Shraddha woke up inside and he started thinking. And that is Kathopanishad. Afterwards, all what happened in the Kathopanishad. So you will see this Shraddha has Kathopanishad, they brought all the cows to give in charity to the Brahmanas there. And Shraddha Viveshaha. But suddenly Nachiketas experienced Shraddha at that point in him. And he started in the spiritual direction. His life began. That is where Kathopanishad came out, isn't it? So you can see the power of Shraddha. Shraddha is such a powerful force inside, which comes from the source, the soul. And Krishna is saying here, that Mayavesha Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasade, one who is Nitya Yukta and one whose mind is absorbed in that way, what Krishna has spoken. Mayavesha Manaha. We will read that verse and you know how we will take it. Oh, one, if you are able to remember Krishna all the time, that's how we will interpret that. That is not what it meant. That's not just not remembering Krishna here and there 10 seconds. That's not what it is. Nobody can remember Krishna like that. That remembering Krishna all the time, it is not possible in that way. But what is Krishna saying here is, Malkarma krada malparamo malbhakta sangavarchita nurvaira sarabhodeshu. When all these things are there in a person, only then this Mayavesha Mana will come. And when Mayavesha Mana will come, Mayavesha Nitya Yukta Upasate, his upasana will be Nitya Yuktam. Nitya Yukta Upasade. And Shraddhaya Pareyo Vedasthemi Yukta Tamo Mada. Krishna says that Shraddha, what is in him at that stage, that is the proper Shraddha Krishna is talking about. You can see that here. Then when our Shraddha is in the world, then that Shraddha becomes distributed in the world, isn't it? So, Shraddha again, if it is in the Apara Prakriti, material nature, that is known as Apara Shraddha. When it is in the Para Prakriti, it is called Para Shraddha. So, when the Shraddha moves on to a world which is beyond this, in the direction of the soul, direction of Krishna, so we will start experiencing that bhavana inside. A kind of imagination will develop inside. A bhavana shakti will develop inside. And it is at that point that some beyond this material world, a world opens up inside, beyond the material world. Now, all our dreams now is centered around this world, is it not? Everything what we dream about is generally centered around this world. My home, my family, my brother, my sister, my parents, my children, my husband, my wife, or a little bit more expanded from there. It doesn't go beyond than that. Or my friends, my society. This is what we dream most of the time. Why? Because the Shraddha is in this world. It hasn't moved. But when Krishna is saying here, when that proper Shraddha develops inside, the bhavana inside changes, which indicates that the dream state will all be of another world, not from this world. That is the indication. That's the indication. The dream what you will experience will be from another world. So, it is at that time Krishna says here that when we start seeing that dream, and remember that when that dream develops into an understanding of another world beyond this material life, beyond material life, it slowly starts pulling us towards that direction. And that is why sometimes people say that when they go to some famous temples, they experience something unusual experience from there. Or some seeing some great personalities, Mahatmas, they experience that. So all of them happens when that Shraddha, which does not belong to this world, wakes up inside. When that Shraddha wakes up inside. So, when you can never say that when that will happen inside. And that is not coming actually from the person itself. Actually, it is Krishna's mercy coming in that way. In that power of Shraddha, it comes out. It's not from the individual's effort. It's not from the individual's effort. Because you cannot do that, create that Shraddha by any technique or method. It cannot happen. So here is where all the technique and method, everything fails. So you cannot acquire that Shraddha by any other means, because it is in the history, it is like that. In Chidambaram, when Ramalinga Swami went there, he was only 1 year or 2 years old. And as soon as he saw the deity, the Shraddha came out and he sung gloriously about the deity in a very touching way. And much, much later, after 30, 40 years ago, when he became famous as a sannyasi and a devotee, then he composed many songs, and he mentions there that at that age in life, when I went to that temple, when I saw the deity, it came up inside. Without his knowledge, it came out from inside. And his parents, of course, they took the child there and made the child to pay the obeisances to the deity. And he wrote about this much, much later, many years later. He mentions there in his poems that I saw you at that age when I was 1 year old, and they followed him later on. So it does not matter what age one is. It can happen at any time in life. If you look into great personalities' life, you will see that at some point in time in their life, this must have happened. Somewhere where their Shraddha woke up seriously. Where their Shraddha woke up seriously. It can happen early, it can happen later in life. But when that happens, you will see the whole direction of life has changed. Whole direction of life has changed. It happens in many, many great personalities. What I'm saying is, it's not something you can plan and execute a project-like thing. It happens to a person. It happens to a person. You can see in Prahlada's case, it happened in the womb of the mother, when he was in the womb of the mother. Shraddhaya Parayobeda. So that para, Shraddhaya Parayobedas, Krishna uses the word there. Shraddhaya Parayobedas means para Shraddha. Shraddhaya Parayobedas. Shraddha in para. Para means in the soul, not in the matter. In spirit, not in the matter. So Krishna is saying there, Shraddhaya Parayobedas. Parashraddha has happened to, will has to happen to him. So that Parashraddha enters into him, Mayavesha Manaha. Wherever, because of that, the mind, Mayaveshaha, Mayavesha, it absorbs in the soul. Soul means here, Andaryami. Andaryami means inside, the soul who is present inside. Soul who is present inside. He is addressed as Andaryami. Andaryami you can translate as super soul, but super soul is not, the precise meaning is not conveyed in that word, super soul. Because for convenience sake, those words are used because there is no other way you can express Andaryami. Andaryami itself is a big chapter in Brihadaranya Upanishad. It is called as Andaryami Adhikaranam. Between Yajnavalkya Maharshi and Maitreyi, there is a discussion about what is known as Andaryami. Andaryami, the soul inside. It's called Andaryami Adhikaranam. In that Andaryami Adhikaranam, it talks about Andaryami in such detail. What does this Andaryami does inside? Now, when I say super soul, individual soul and all, you will start dreaming in your own way. You will think, what is this actually? These two things, where are they? What are they doing there? Who are they? All I questions will come, is it not? But then because we don't have an answer, it will go straight away. We'll go into something else. Because this is how we are, is it not? Now you see the difficulty that if you have a lot of number of words with a completely completely unclear words, you don't have any understanding what that word is saying. Some word somebody has said, Andaryami, okay, we'll take it as Andaryami. What does that mean? Is it not? So this is where Shastram must be studied. We must take into understand certain things which are very, very deeper level, what happens to us. What is the impact of Andaryami? That's why in Upanishads you will see when they talked about this, Andaryami Adhikaranam is a long chapter and talks about Andaryami in depth, what Andaryami does. For us now, soul is a very unknown entity yet, isn't it? We don't know what the soul means. Sometimes we say it's different words in the Shastram at different places used. Sutralpava, another place it will call as Nyapti, and the third place it is called some other Atma. So many different names are used everywhere. And because we have not got that the precise relationship with us, what is this, what is it impact on us? How is it happening? What's happening here inside? So Andaryami principle is very important. It is from this Andaryami all our spiritual activities are driven in our life. Our spiritual activities is driven by Andaryami inside. Andaryami principle is that. Krishna says there, in the Bhagavatam you will notice, Alpano Guru Alpmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshan Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. You know, it's a verse to Uddhava, he says, that Alpma inside, which is actually is using the word Alpma here instead of Andaryami. That Andaryami is a word specifically used because it's Andaryami's work that we are going through the spiritual life also. All things what we experience in spiritual life is from this Andaryami. So, Atmano Guru Atmaiva. Andaryami comes out in the form of a Guru. That is the principle. Andaryami comes and stands outside in front of us as Guru. Andaryami from inside pulls our attention towards Krishna. Andaryami from inside takes our attention away from the world. And ultimately, Andaryami takes us back to the source also, which is Andaryami again. Andaryami is a source. From there comes the spiritual master, stands outside as the spiritual master. He directs us, and because we are absorbed in the body so much that we cannot understand anything when it's spoken on spiritual terminology, isn't it? That is why so much misunderstanding happens when we study Bhagavad Gita. We are studying Bhagavad Gita with all our anger, greed, lust and everything. And we will see everything in the Bhagavad Gita in the same way. We won't see in the right way what the Acharyas have given us. That's where this difficulty comes. That's why you can see now that we have understood some Bhagavad Gita. And we have thought, made ourselves very convinced that the main enemy in this world we have got is impersonalist. We have to smash them down somehow. That's the only job I got to do in this world. How unfortunate that is, that if we have come to that conclusion, it is not anybody's fault, it's our own fault. Nobody else has to be blamed for that. Because if you keep reading Bhagavad Gita, you can see right from chapter 1 right up to chapter 9, Krishna is talking about based on very much on an impersonal level, a lot of things. Krishna is not rejected impersonalism. It's the two sides of the same coin. On the one side, because you will see that if you read Krishna's logic in that, why that this difficulty, why people are experiencing. Arjuna asked this question. Krishna never answered the question because it didn't make any sense to answer that question. What was required was Arjuna to understand both. And then you will know why it is difficult impersonalism. Impersonalism means ism and all we created, isn't it? In Adhyatmam, in spiritual life, there is no ism. Personalism and impersonalism, these are isms. Just like we have Hinduism, Christianity and Islam, all are isms, isn't it? But that's not spiritual life. They are religions. That's for those who want to follow that route. But spiritual life is science. It's a knowledge based. It's not sentiments based. It's not based on number. It's purely based on knowledge. Krishna is saying there, klesho adhikatarastesham avyatasakta chedasam. You will see a few verses later, Krishna is saying there, so long as you are on the bodily concept of life, it is very difficult to understand the spirit soul. That is Krishna's point. So therefore, it appears to us that the impersonalism we keep saying, and we start thinking it's some kind of philosophy which has completely destroyed the world. But practically you can see Krishna's point there. Klesho adhikatarastesham. Krishna is saying, not saying that it is rejected. Adhikklesham. Adhikklesham means very difficult. Krishna says, why? For those for whom it is difficult, dehavad biravapyate, who was absorbed in the body. That is how, you see, the truth is presented in the Vedas like this. It has got a form, it has got without form. It has got qualities, it has no qualities. Sagunam, nirgunam, sagaram, niragaram. Both sides it is presented. Why is it presented like that? Because there are people in this world who are not in the bodily concept of life also, who are completely very much beyond the body. Everyone in this world is not the same. People who are in a much higher level, who have freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, and for them, this process may not work. Which one? The personalism may not work for them. So that's why Krishna is saying there, klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chedasam avyaktahi gadir dukham dehavadhiravapide. Who are absorbed in the body, for them, this impersonalist way of worshipping will not work for them. That is how Krishna, it is difficult, he says. Not that it won't work, it is difficult. That's how Krishna puts it there. We'll go to that later, but let's go back to the same verse where Krishna mentions this. So, so technique, method and all that, he fails here. They cannot help. So, strength, you cannot get that Andaryami strength. So, how does it Upanishad say about that? Because Upanishads are very much based on this principle. It mentions there that the to say this Andaryami Adhikaranam. Andaryami Adhikaranam means the chapter which is talking about Andaryami, the soul inside, it says there. Ya prithivyam trishtan prithivyam andara yam prithivi na veda yasya prithivi shariram ya prithivi andare yamayati yeshata alma andaryami abhuta amrtaha. says, a Pradivyam Tishtan Pradivyam Andaraha, who is in this world and who is within that, and the earth does not know him. Talking about Andaryami now. Andaryami is in this world, but he is inside that, but the earth does not know him. But it is his body which has manifested as the earth. And he controls the earth from within, and that thing itself is ourself. Yeah? This is Brahadaranyam says this. Ya Pradivyam Trishtan Pradivyam Andarha Yam Pradivi Na Veda Yasya Pradivi Shariram Ya Pradivi Andaro Yamayati Yashada Alma Andaryami Amrdaha. That Andaryami is Amrdam. Now, starting with this earth, it goes on and on and on, whole chapter in so many verses about Andaryami. Andaryami talks about, that means the soul inside, how it controls everything in this creation, which is our soul inside. This is our soul inside. So he mentions here along with that, it goes on then about water. First about earth, then about water, it says the same thing. Then fire, it says the same thing. And about the sky, it says the same thing. The same way. Yo agno tishtanda agne randhara yam agnirna veda yasya agni shariram. Yo agnina mandaro yamayati yashada andaryami andaryam amrdaha andaryabhyamrdaha. So Andaryami, who is present in the fire, who is within the fire, whom fire does not know, and whose body is the fire, and who controls the fire from within, and is the internal ruler, which is your own self. This is how Brihadaranyam teaches Andaryami. First of all, he takes us outside the world and shows where Andaryami is operating in different levels. In through the air, through the water, through the, like that it goes, sky and air, everything. And then it also talks about heavenly planets where Andaryami operates. And in the sun, Andaryami operates. Andaryami is in the sun. He who inhabits the sun, but it is within the sun, whom the sun does not know, but whose body is the sun, and who controls the sun from within, is the internal ruler, your own self. So Andaryami inside is present in everyone, in everything matter, in the sun, in the moon, everywhere, and moon and the stars, everywhere who is present is this Andaryami. So who inhabits the ether in the same way. It goes on, Atmanyam Andaryami Adhikaranam. Then it says, Ya Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtan Sarvebhyo Bhudebhyo Andaraha. Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtan. He who inhabits all beings, but is within them, whom he nobody knows. Just like us. We don't know Andaryami inside, but he is present there. It's the same thing with the sun, the moon, the stars, all the other living entities in the world. And then what it says, all our senses in the same way. Yam ya prane tishtan pranad andara. Then that means he inhabits the nose, and within that the nose does not know. And whose body is the nose, and who controls the nose from within, is the immortal ruler, your own self, which does that. So you can see that how the Andaryami functions in us, in all our different bodily activities. The sages see things on a completely subtle level. Everything, they have got the understanding that way. That they never said that the senses are working because of the senses, but because of the self inside the senses are working. Because of the self inside, the senses are working. And they establish the link between the senses and the self. The self is present, so the nose is working. The self is present, eyes are working. Since self is present, ears are working. Self is present, we are experiencing the taste. Tongue is functioning. Tongue is speaking. That means five senses of knowledge and five senses of action is all working because of the self, not due to the senses. This is the most important thing. So, first of all, Andaryami Adhikaranam says, all the five material elements are working, earth, water, air, ether and fire, because of the presence of the self in there. Similarly, all the senses of knowledge and senses of action is working because of the presence of the self there. Without self, none of them can work. So, similarly, all the other senses also, he talks about the same thing. And finally, it says, the intelligence is working because the self is there. Because the ye vijnanam tishtandi jnanad andara yam vijnanam na vedaha yase vijnanam shariram yo vijnanam andaro yamedi yeshada almaan andaryami amradaha. He says, he who inhabits the intellect, it is only because of the presence of andaryami inside that the intelligence is working. And but is within whom the intellect does not know that. We say, scientists say brain, they keep saying about it, isn't it? But why should the brain work like that? They think it is a mechanism that is operating the brain. It's not a mechanism. There is another force driving that which they have not seen yet. But they know certain things, how the brain, how when they take out the brain and they say, this is doing this work in the body, this is doing this work in the body. But that particular thing which is doing a particular work in the body, where is that thing getting its strength from? That they haven't found out that the science behind that yet. That is why when intelligence, he says here, whom the intellect does not know where it's coming from, whose body is the intellect and who controls the intellect from within is the internal ruler, your own self. So self is such a power, and this is what we are running after, this self inside this body. What is it? That is the inquiry all the time. And in order to get an answer means not on a mental platform, not on an intellectual platform, but to get that experience, these explanations in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad must help, because that is how the sages explained to us. That they told us that this is the process. In Jnanamargam, it is like that. They teach you the process, and realizing is our responsibility. Is our responsibility. All the aids, what is necessary to realize the truth, is given. But doing it and realizing it is our own responsibility. So that's why it mentions here like this. Ya sarvani bhudani andaro naimayati eshade alma andaryami amrataha andaryami adhikaranam in Brihadaranyam. So, navidhu. But he is inside, doesn't know what is going on. So, when this power, this Shraddha, which is also coming from Andaryami, by the mercy of Andaryami, this unusual power that comes out, it starts dreaming about that Andaryami. And how does it do that? That we cannot say. People will say different things. So sometimes people say that you take them to the temple first time, some people, they'll say it's a good marble. They'll see the deity. We think we know about it, do we? We are also not much different, as though we have understood the truth. We go to the temple, we see the form there, we say that it is Krishna. Yeah. So we say it is Krishna, but what do we understand from there? So this is only possible, he says. Some people will say, suppose somebody who does not believe in the deity worship, what will be his response? He will say it's only another piece of marble, but it's nicely shaped in a particular way. You have dressed it, you have put some jewelry on that, put some nice clothes on that, flowers, garlands, everything, and you say it's Krishna to me. But to me it looks like a stone. So then they may ask you the next thing. You're just chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, all the time. Why not we chant something else? What is the difference? If they ask you the question, what will you answer that question? So the point is here that it is impossible to explain that, what it is. But you have to understand one thing, that a person who has properly engaged in deity worship and who has understood deity worship, not on a mental plane or intellectual plane, but if he has experienced that, the result of that deity worship, what happiness it is bringing to him, that is real. The logic behind that you can't explain, but experience is real. That you can't deny. Isn't it? Exactly like chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name, very difficult to explain that to someone. Look, Krishna is the name of the God. If he asks you, where is the proof? Where is his God with his name? It's, you can't offer him anything except you can tell them that in the Shastram it says like this. That's all you can say. But one who has chanted Hare Krishna and you have started experiencing that power of that holy name, then you will know that you don't need any explanation because that experience is real, what you are experiencing. There, logic is not important, experience is important. That is how deity worship also. You worship the deity and you are experiencing from that a real happiness from that deity worship. That experience is real, but you can't explain that to someone with any logic and reasoning. That is up to them to take it in the same way. And if he gets it, he gets it. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it. That's how it is. So there are examples for that. Many instances what happened. When Mahatma Gandhi went to South Africa first time, Mahatma Gandhiji admits this thing in his own biography. If you read, you will see this. He says there that he was not very much absorbed in spiritual life in his early days, not to such an extent. And there was one Srinivasa Shastri who was a great exponent of Ramayanam. He spoke from Ramayanam so eloquently. He knew everything, the whole of Ramayanam so well. And he could speak very well from Ramayana with a lot of feelings and expressions of that. So once it so happened, Mahatma Gandhi, when he traveled, he went to see Srinivasa Shastri. He met him, they met each other. I think they met in Pune or somewhere like that. And during that meeting, Srinivasa Shastri, Mahatma Gandhi always chanted Ramachandra's name. Rama Rama, he chanted always. So Srinivasa Shastri asked Mahatma Gandhi this question. His question was that, I've studied Ramayana through and through for so many years, but nowhere I see this chanting Ramachandra, Rama's name mentioned so seriously, so strongly. Ramayana, Valmiki's Ramayana is a great story and it's a great epic. But it's not stressed anywhere to chant the name of Ramachandra like the way you are chanting. You are taking it so seriously, he said to Mahatma Gandhi. You know what Mahatma Gandhi said, answer to that? Mahatma Gandhi's answer was this. He said, when he went to South Africa first time, that in South Africa, that people who were around Mahatma Gandhi at that time, he said they used to arrange some program in the evening and somebody used to speak from Ramayanam at that time. Mahatma Gandhi says, I never read Ramayanam. He admits that. He says, I never read Ramayanam. But what I saw there was, when someone was speaking about from Ramayanam, those who were thousands of people who were present there, they were listening to it, and I was looking at them who were listening, and I saw a change in their face and change in their heart. I could see that without anybody telling me how they were absorbed in that Ramachandra story, and they were chanting Rama Rama, and I started like that. Mahatma Ji says there. He says, I've never studied Ramayana. So, as far as Mahatma Gandhi is concerned, Ramayana is not important. His experience is more important. He experienced the holy name and he started chanting the holy name, Ramchandra's name. And he mentions this, that for me that is reality because I have seen this happening with people and it has happened to me also and I took it on board from then on. How will you explain this? If somebody asks for an explanation to you, you can't give an explanation to this. It is real experience of that. So till we experience the holy name, till we experience the deity worship, all that will remain in this way, that if you keep on thinking, oh, how shall I explain deity worship to somebody? What can you explain deity worship to someone? It's simple. It's experience that makes it happen, that what deity worship brings it at the end, isn't it? So these things are happening. Mahatmaji says, sir, I don't know anything about Ramachandra's story, he said. But I heard that he has fought a war, he killed somebody called Ravana and all that. That doesn't matter to me, he said, whether he is killed or he survived. But for me, that chanting the holy name of Ramachandra was important. And when I was a little boy at home, he says, that there was a servant at home, she taught me also to chant this Rama Rama. I didn't take it very seriously at that time, he says. But when I went to South Africa and saw this, so many people sitting and listening Ramayanam so seriously and their tears were coming from their eyes. I could see that, how they are experiencing that, and it has affected me. He says like that there. So when Shraddha wakes up in a person, it is very difficult to say. in what circumstances it will happen. So that sudden wake up of Shraddha is a spurti of the Antaryami. It's a spurti. It's called spurti. Spurti means a sudden outflow of from inside of that Antaryami's power. Antaryami's power. So he says there that I heard later this name Ramachandra is a representation of the Paramatma inside and all that, and he is the Supreme Lord. All these things I came to learn later, he said. But for me at that particular point in time, that chanting that name was my happiness. I got a tremendous happiness from listening to them, seeing them, and it hit me, he said. Hit me that way. So he says here that this Shraddha, when it wakes up, so Gandhiji says here that I saw Ramchandra in there, in them. When he saw the Shraddha in them, he could see, says, Ramchandra in them. So then the question was that means even if you have not studied Shastram, that means people can have Shraddha, isn't it? He said, yes. People can have Shraddha still. You may not have studied all the Shastram, but Shraddha can be there. So sometimes people will go, they see the deities in the temple, and they get a great, great pleasure inside, a happiness inside. And that you can't explain anything. So, okay, you may say sometimes this kind of devotion is very illogical because it's all based on some sentiments or something like that. But let it be like that. Even then, but their happiness is not false, isn't it? They're experiencing happiness at that point. That's not false. So that happiness also at that time is coming from the Antaryami. That also is coming from the Antaryami. So, because at that point, at that particular point in time, that person was able to accept that form there in the temple as a representation of the truth. Representation of the truth. So, in other words, they also understand that these are all from the experiences, not from the Shastram. It's from the Shastram. So, as long as that Shraddha remains there, that is the important point. The Shraddha is present there. So, in other words, the difference is that in this deity worship or in any other holy name and all that, when Shraddha absorbs, what happens? That's the important point. You'll start realizing one time that this is one thing which doesn't go away. In other words, it comes, it goes, but it's no time you can completely write it off, the Shraddha. The Shraddha, what happens in the holy name, what happens in the deity, this will not go away once for all. It will come, then you may lose it for some time due to our connection with the modes of nature or something. It may go, but it will come back again. On the other hand, if you take anything else in this world, husband, wife, children, money, all of them will go once for all. They won't come back. They're only one trip, they're gone and it's gone. That's it. It cannot come back. Whereas this one, the difference is it comes back. It doesn't, it stays. So, and not only that, the diseases will come in life. Body will suffer. Body will suffer. So, all these understanding, all this understanding is behind this when you are talking about worshipping the truth in a form. Worshipping the truth in a form. So, people ask this question that we go to the temple. Why we go to the temple, isn't it? They ask this question. So, the important thing is that certain fundamental understanding, fundamental knowledge of the truth, we address as Krishna, Ramachandra, whichever way you want to call that, but some knowledge of the truth is behind it when our Shraddha falls there, when our Shraddha falls there. So sometimes sometimes people say that, why do you go to the temple? A lot of devotees do ask this question, why do you go to the temple? So, people have different understanding of the temple. They think the temple is for the management, or temple is for those who are living there, or temple is for somebody else who is donating a lot of money to temple. Temple is not for anybody like that. It's Krishna's temple. It is Krishna's temple. And there is nobody who can come in between and say to you that why this question should not even come in our mind. Reason is that in every temple if you go, it's very difficult to say in the temples here because it's a little different situation here. In India, if you look at all the big temples, they've got managers and they've also got people who are running the temple in different positions and authorities in the temple and everywhere. All the temples you'll find, big temples if you look, in Vrindavanam as well as other places also. But in all these temples you will also see there are people who are not involved in anything in the temple, but they have taken complete shelter of the deity there. Their life is very hard. They struggle through their life. They have nothing with them. They have no money. They have no proper livelihood. They struggle in their life. And in spite of that, they are able to keep their faith in that deity. Why did this happen? How did this happen? We have to ask that question. Where did they get that strength from? There, we may be thinking, oh, the temple president or the guru or the head of the mutt is important. They are not the important people. It is these people who are living in near the temple or close to the temple or outside the temple. They may not be even living in the temple, but who have such a strong pull towards the shelter of the deity who is in the temple there. So where is this faith coming from? You will see this in many, many temples. Wherever you go, you will see this happening. That whether you go to Bangi Bihari temple, Radha Ramanokan temple or Radha Govindaji temple, everywhere you will see some people outside. People think, oh, they have come here to beg. That's how we will form the opinion about it. And we are first class devotees walking straight with the first class dhoti and everything properly organized, everything came from the flight. Directly I came to Vrindavan, people will say. I took a taxi and came to Vrindavan direct. So what does it imply? We are thinking, we have put ourselves, but those devotees who are there like that, they have no proper livelihood, no way they have any guarantee in life, and they have completely taken shelter of their deity there. If they get something every day to eat, that they consider it as Krishna's mercy, and they live like that day after day after day. Just imagine that. We may go to the temple and see the big managers there, or the president or GBC or whatever we call it. We will be thinking that these are the great devotees. That's the impression we carry with us, isn't it? Oh, he has lived in the Koli Dham for the last 40 years. What a wonderful service he has done. It's because he's lived there. But how did he live there? That's the question. Is it not? So the point is that Krishna consciousness in them, that is their Shraddha. That is their Shraddha in them. So those people you will notice that they won't come out openly and get involved in anything else. Why? Because inside them the Shraddha has woken up in a much serious level. In this lifetime they have seen, when Krishna is saying there, Anityam Asukham Logam, world is temporary, world is full of misery. Unless you are that much convinced, that position is not possible to be like that. It's not possible. Because if you are not convinced, what will happen is you will still try to change something or trying to adjust something in this world and trying to make some alternative arrangement in this world. So that is why it is mentioned there that word Shraddha covers a lot of things, covers a lot of people who are actually properly surrendered to Krishna. It is them Krishna is referring to there. Mayaveshyamano yemam. Those devotees, they have no other shelter in this world. Even for maintaining the body, they are dependent on Krishna. We don't recognize Krishna, the dependence on Krishna for maintaining this body, isn't it? How much do we recognize Krishna is maintaining this body? Maya veshyamano yemam nitya yuktam upasate shraddhaya parayo pedaste me yuktatamo madam. So they are sitting there. Sometimes you look at their faces, tears are coming from their eyes. They have physical problems. They are suffering a lot through their body. There is no guaranteed food, guaranteed clothing, protection from the weather. Nothing. They just sit on the street. Is it not? Often you will notice this. What a level they have reached. Imagine that. And we are thinking that with all our money, we could buy Krishna, isn't it? But surrender you can see there. That is why it is mentioned like this. That that Krishna is saying here, Shraddhaya parayobedasteme yuktatamo madam. The Shraddha that is woken up in them is much more powerful than an ordinary person. Our Shraddha has not gone anywhere near to that. Even a slight disturbance in life is sufficient for us to complain about it. Suppose there is a slight change in the temperature conditions in Vrindavan, we will say, I'll come in the winter, Krishna, to see you. The summertime doesn't suit me. That's how we are. And they, for them, there is no summer, there is no winter. And there is no guarantee of the food. There is no proper clothing, no shelter to sleep. They sleep on the street sometimes. In the morning when they wake up, they go to the temple still and see the deity. How much inside they carry the miseries of material life. Why? Anityam asukham logam. Now, not that they have reached that by studying all the shastram. It doesn't have to be. After all, they are doing what Krishna is saying, isn't it? They are doing what Krishna has told us to do. They are saying, they are experiencing the distress of this world, the temporary nature of this world, the miseries of this world, all they are experiencing. And then what does Krishna say? On these two things, you can't do anything about it. What is that? Anityam, asukham, logam. Like our Krishna, who created this world, he is saying this to us. So you have to take it very seriously, because it's he who has created all this. Then he is telling us anityam, asukham, logam. Then he says, one thing he says you can do is bhajaswamam, take my shelter. That's what is possible. So they have done that and we haven't done that. So there itself we can see the, you see, we have a lot of misconceptions also about the temple. If you pour a lot of gold into the temple or a lot of money pump into the temple, our bhakti will go up. Bhakti is not connected like that with the bhakti. Is something, what the surrender is, what the key behind it. That's what it is mentioned here. So they are not to be discussed even, because they are not interested in discussion with us. Now, if you look at them, you may think that their Shraddha is not based on any Shastram or anything. Doesn't matter, so what? But they have got the Shraddha, that's the main thing. Because the main thing what they have done is, they didn't take shelter of anything else in this world. That is the Shraddha, what they have got. So whatever we are holding on to, that will all go one day. But we don't want to recognize that. Whatever shelter we have taken in this world today, we have taken shelter of the wealth, we have taken shelter of the house, shelter of the family members, relationships and society. These are all our shelter, name, fame and everything. And whatever we have taken shelter of all this, in fact, they have taken the real shelter, Krishna shelter, they have taken. So they may not have done that after proper analysis of the whole world and situation in this world. We have analyzed it, but still we think this shelter is better. Krishna's shelter is not that perfect. That's why we are here still, isn't it? So therefore it mentions here that they may have come to that situation because due to failures in life. Doesn't matter. They may have failed in their life in many areas, and a lot of miseries must have happened in their life. Sometimes when you read in Vrindavanam and all that, so many helpless people come there, completely rejected by the family and nobody to give any shelter to them, and total helpless state. If you observe things, you will see people like that. In all holy places you will see this. Nadas, Haridwar and many places like that. They have come there because they had nowhere else to go. They have completely lost all hopes in life, and their own health may not be in a good shape. So, for somehow or the other, it happened that they surrendered to Krishna. They didn't say to Krishna, I come to surrender to you, but surrender happened to them in one way or the other. In other words, everything has left them. we are finding it difficult to leave it, isn't it? For them, everything has left them. So they know one thing, that there is only one thing left now for them. For them, in their own inside, they know the only hope is Krishna. They have come to that conclusion. To get to that point is very, very difficult in life. We can intellectualize it, discuss it for hours together, but to come to that understanding, it is very difficult. Because, it's very difficult to explain, because the logic behind it. What is that logic that makes that happen? Because there is no logic in that. So, as far as they are concerned, there is no doctors, there is no medicines, there is no money, there is no husband, there is no wife, there is no children, nothing. All of them have left them and gone. So they have come to a point that they have taken shelter of something like Gajendra. Like Gajendra, isn't it? Gajendra took shelter in this way. So till that happens, that completely, like Gajendra completely lost the grip of the intelligence and the mind. So in other words, at the moment, we are under the grip of mind and intelligence, is it not? Mind and intelligence is under the grip we are at the moment. That is why every time we ask questions, because mind is want that answer, or mind wants, intelligence wants the answer. And we think that through our mind and intelligence we'll get to know the truth, isn't it? So I'll ask a lot of questions and a lot of answers, and probably, but that is not the spiritual process. Spiritual process is never like that. It's never like that. So you can see, like Gajendra cried at that point. You can see in the Bhagavatam Gajendra story, how when everything failed, Gajendra cried. Gajendra cried. Similarly, these great devotees, you have to observe them carefully in these temples. Only then you will see every temple. Big temple you go, you will see them there. Outside, or sometimes inside, sometimes outside. They will not be involved in anything in the temple. But due to circumstances, whatever Krishna has brought them, Krishna has brought them to this realization that this surrender is such an important thing. It has happened to them in their life. So here, so normally what happens is that when we study Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Vedantam and all that, we'll start thinking that all this is not so important, because we start following the direction of the intelligence and start thinking, I understand better now things, so I don't need to know all these things, and that I know better these things. But here, and pragradam is a word used. Pragradam means one who has very preliminary understanding. But one we have to remember here is that when you are in the spiritual life, you can't think like that. When we think of others in a lower level or a higher level, it's all based on the body. It's all based on the body. Actually, we are atma, soul, isn't it? On the platform of the soul, you can't discriminate people. Platform of the soul, you can't discriminate people. That is the most important point. Like many instances, you may have seen, I have seen it in many temples. What happens? A big person comes, a wealthy person or a famous person or a powerful person comes. The management and others give a lot of importance to that person in receiving him, honoring him, and thinking that his presence has helped in their temple environment. But practically you can see the Krishna's eyes goes far beyond than that. Krishna sees a lot more things, more than what the management sees or what we see in the temple. He is seeing in whose heart it is actually started melting, who is actually concerned about Krishna in his thoughts, and who has surrendered to Krishna. That's what matters to Krishna. So that's why this difficulty coming here. So you can never say when a great devotee will, what person will turn out to be a great devotee. Because when the surrender happens in a person, you can see his bodily attachment leaves him. And not only that, it gives him an extraordinary power, Shraddha manifests in that person, that he becomes Krishna's person. That he becomes Krishna's person. We all say, my Krishna. But that devotee says, I am Krishna's. That is the difference. And that is stronger than Krishna being mine. Me being Krishna's is a stronger position than I being Krishna's person. So all these things. So so there, this is as far as the devotee's plane is concerned. If you look at the Jnani's position is concerned, they are not much different, you can see that. From Jnani's point of view, there is nobody ignorant in this world. Ajnani doesn't exist in this world. There is no Ajnani in this world. Everybody is Ajnani, as far as Jnani is concerned. Why? Because he is seeing, in his eyes, he is seeing only the soul, and the soul is full of knowledge and bliss. He's not seeing the bodily level anymore. So he also knows that Krishna has dressed up in different bodies and has come here in that way. So so when this Shraddha, when this understanding of the devotees in this way happens, it is an indication of that Shraddha Shakti from inside coming out. That means, when we visit these temples and when we see those devotees who have taken complete shelter of Krishna, willingly or unwillingly, doesn't matter, they have taken shelter. That's the qualification. They have taken shelter. All their attachments to the body is gone. They live in such austere conditions. Austere condition. Whether they have studied Shastram or not is not important. They have surrendered to Krishna. That is important. That has happened to them. So when you see that and you start recognizing there that Shraddha in them, it is the power of Antaryami inside giving us a hint towards that. The power of that Shraddha Shakti. That is how it happens. Quite often we forget all these things when we go to the temple. We go to the temple. How do we go? We fly from here, and then taxi is waiting there. We make sure taxi is there at the airport. And then when we get to Vrindavan also, at least we should have a good accommodation to stay. And then we'll nicely dress up. I'll go for the evening aarti today. And then where is the prasadam booked? We'll make sure everything is organized. It's a spiritual holiday like thing, isn't it? So you can see the difference in the nature, that our consciousness is like that. Their consciousness is different. They have what Krishna is saying here. My avesha mano yamam. That avesham. Avesham means that complete absorption in Krishna and surrender. That is that my avesha mano. My avesha mano yamam. Nitya yuktam upasate. Shraddhaya parayo veda. Steme yuktadamo mada. Krishna is saying that person who is in that state of consciousness, completely surrendered to me, completely absorbed in me all the time, he is properly situated. That is how Krishna answered that question to Arjuna. Without saying personalism is better than impersonalism or impersonalism better than personalism, the answer came like this. Mai avesha mano yemam. We must remember that it is not a battle between personalism and impersonalism. It's never there in the Vedic tradition any time. It is all based on our own perception, is based on this understanding that the more, Krishna puts it there, dehavadbi ravapyade, those who are in the bodily concept of life, for them, this inquiry of the self in a through the jnana margam is difficult. That's all he said. Enquiry of the self through jnana margam, process of knowledge, is difficult for those who are absorbed in the body. That's all Krishna said. If you look at that verse, you will see in the two verses later. Klesho adhikata rastesham avyakta sakta chedasam avyakta hi gadir dukham dehavadbir avapyade. That's all Krishna mentions there. We must understand this properly, otherwise we will create a lot of ragadvesham towards others. Those who have the other ways of thinking. It is not possible to shift one person from one to another also. It's not easy. It may happen, may not happen. And that's not our responsibility either. It's not our headache, in other words. Because you can see, Sukadeva Goswami, if you read his history in the Bhagavatam, you will see in the first canto, he was what we call today as an impersonalist, in that sense, isn't it? He got attracted to Krishna, and he was not absorbed in the body. Still, he got attracted to Krishna. He was a realized soul, even before he studied Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it not? So, he was, if you remember, in the first canto, Prabhupada mentions about Sukadeva Goswami's history. You will see he was a monist. Impersonalist, in other words. Monist means impersonalist. He was an impersonalist monist. And he was a realized soul. And Krishna decided to send him to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. How? How would you say that he is not bona fide? It's very difficult to get that. We haven't got that clear understanding of these things. So we get confused overall and we think that if I join the winning party, everything will be alright. That is our understanding, because we don't know anything else. The winning party here is the one who is personalist or whatever. So I'll join that group. Others all, and smash the other one down. So Krishna will like me then if I do that. This is how we are thinking. Our Balisham, it's called Balisham. Balisham means childish mind. Works like this. Without having a proper understanding of what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. This is why Bhagavad Gita must be studied in depth as best as possible to see all these subtleties in the Bhagavad Gita. They are so important. Otherwise, it will remain simply as a what we call as the traffic rules book. You know, when the amber light comes, ready to stop, and the red light comes, stop. If you study Bhagavad Gita like that, you won't get anywhere. Bhagavad Gita is a very complex textbook in that way. So here you can see, Krishna says here, so one who has got Shraddha, he has got Yuktatama, best he says. Shraddhaya pareyo vedas teme Yuktatamo mada. Now how you get that Shraddha is not important. But if you have got Shraddha, that is important thing. How you got it is not important. So, Arjuna's question was, Evam, look, you have to understand the question well and also the answer. These first and second verses. Arjuna's question was, Evam satata yuktaye bhakta stvam pairivasate ejapi aksharam avyaktam teshamke yogavitama. This is the question. Evam satata yuktaye bhakta stvam pairivasate. Arjuna is asking Krishna that bhakta stvam pairivasate. This world which you are seeing completely in all its entirety, what you are seeing here, seeing that as Krishna's form, are they the best? Because he is asking this question right after the universal form he has seen, isn't it? He has seen the universal form and he is asking this question, is that the best way that those who are seeing this world as you, like he has seen before in the last chapter, are they the best ones? Or echapi aksharam avyaktam, the third line and fourth line you will see there, the question, echapi aksharam avyaktam. Aksharam avyaktam means, avyaktam means unmanifested. It has not appeared yet. It has not appeared yet. It's not clear what it is. That is avyaktam, isn't it? And at another word in the Shastram is aparoksham. It's aparoksham. Then, but you have started your experience of the soul, you started experiencing. Jnanamargam, in other words, is directly indicating to the Jnanamargam. He says there that Swanibhavam, he has started experiencing the presence of the soul inside and he is absorbed in the Jnanamargam or Brahmavidya or Jnana process, the process of Jnanamargam, which they are following, Brahmavidya or Atmavidya, or those who are following the path of knowledge, in other words. So the question here is, Arjuna is asking, those who are worshipping that universal form, what I have seen, evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasate, or ejapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogavitama. Aksharam avyaktam. Now, you have to remember these two words, very important. Aksharam means Brahmam. Akshara Brahmam. Eighth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if you study, you will see Akshara Brahmam. Akshara Brahmam is that eighth chapter. Completely about the unmanifested form of Krishna through the sound. Aksharam. Aksharam is a big word. Brahmam is another word. Akshara Brahmam it is called. And Aksharam is the letter Om also, Pranavam. And Pranavam represents Vedam. And Pranavam represents the sound vibration. All of that, so much involved in that. When you study the 8th chapter, we will talk about that in depth. But so Arjuna is asking this question, that Akshara Brahmam or Om or unmanifested form or the process of knowledge, which is the Jnani's process, and those who are pursuing that study of the soul in that way, about the soul in that way, are they better or this those who are worshipping the manifested form in this world, Krishna's manifested form, who is better? This is that question. Evam satada yuktaye bhaktastvam paryubhasate ejabi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogavitama. This is it's a very, very deep question, that is, in the sense that it one level you can people have made said that whether it is personalism is better, impersonalism is better. They can put it like that, that question. Is this better or that better? Isn't it? Personalism is better or impersonalism is better? They'll ask that question. But it is a little more than that, that question. Arjuna has put it to him in this way, that Paryubhasade evam satada yuktaye, what I mentioned before, that those devotees who have completely left everything in this world and taken total shelter of Krishna, either not, maybe not be on their own, it has happened to them like that. Then let's put it that way. It does not that they have a planned program that they become like that, became in a helpless state. They become a helpless state and surrender to Krishna. And there, in their world, this world doesn't exist. Because they are so surrendered inside, as far as they are concerned, the only shelter is Krishna, nothing else in this world. They have come to that state. Are they better? Or those through the process of knowledge, who cultivated analysis of the soul, understanding the soul through the process of Upanishads, Jnana Margam, and Aksharam, Avyaktam, all there are definitions for the same process. Aksharam, Avyaktam, all these things. So, which is better? That was the question. Krishna's answer was, Mayaveshamano Yemam, the second verse, Nitya Yuktam Upasate, Shraddhaya Parayo Pedasteme Yuktatamo Madam. So normally we have this general understanding, or generally when it is commented, we will say either it is Nirgunam or Sagunam. Or, specifically you can see, Krishna didn't mention a very clear-cut answer there in that way. What he said like this was that, first thing, this question came up immediately after the universal form. You have to see the background also, how this question has come up. So, in Krishna's answer, his point is, by whatever way it is, it doesn't matter. The important thing is, you have to get absorbed in Krishna. That is important. The absorption is not important, then which process you follow. When Krishna says absorption, when Krishna says that, Krishna is always speaking from the platform of the soul, not from the platform of the body. We, in our ignorance, think everything is on the bodily level. That's all what we know. We think we are this body, spiritual master is the body, Krishna is the body. That's all what we know. But here you can see, Krishna is saying, Kamalpa Buddhagesha Sarvabhudashayastida Aham Adyanja Madhyanja Bhudana Mantamevacha. This is the verse in the 10th chapter. Where Krishna is saying there, Aham Alpa Gudagesha, never forget that Krishna is the soul in everyone. If we forget that, the whole interpretation will go in a different way. And that is why when we study Bhagavad Gita, if we have no opportunity to discuss these things openly, it keeps us in our darkness, continuously in darkness. I can give you examples that normally among the learned spiritual circles, if somebody writes a commentary on any book, any shastram, it will be discussed by others. And they will remark about it, whether the commentary was proper, or what they felt about the commentary, and how they understood how good the commentary was, how good that explanation was. These things are openly discussed. It's never kept in the darkness. But you can see, in our state of way we are going a lot of the times, if you open your mouth and say something, immediately it is taken in the wrong way. And it is not possible to understand things in a deeper level when we keep everything shut. It cannot happen. It is not possible to do that. Even among learned circles, when very learned people write books or commentaries on Shastram, other people who have read, they buy the book, they read it, and they will give their comment, they will give their, how do they call it, in English they call it review the book, isn't it? They review that, and they will give their opinions, and that is acceptable. You know, all Kalidasa's books are written like that, Acharya Swami's books are like that, everything is commended by many, many people, and they wrote about it. But it only in our system, we have made it like this, you are not allowed to say, immediately it becomes Vaishnava Virada. How can it work? If everything is Vaishnava Radham, then where is the possibility of anything opening? Especially when you study a text like Bhagavad Gita, where there is so many subtle factors coming in. And if you don't open up things and discuss it, how is it going to go in? You will simply accept it, everything as it is, and then nothing will happen. And then it remains simply as a mystery. Once Ramadhartha went to America, and he was talking about from yoga processes. Somebody got so confused, he asked him, he said he couldn't understand anything, he said. Then he asked this question, is your God Mr. or Mrs. or Miss? What is it, he said. He says, my God is neither Mr. nor Mrs. nor Miss. It's a mystery, he said. That was his answer. What can you do? That is how Shastram is. If you want to get to know Bhagavad Gita, you've got to go that way. There is no other way. Simply rejecting everything and saying that I got, this is the law book, I'm not going to change, deviate from this one word. If how will it analyze things in a proper way? When Arjuna is asking a question like this and Krishna is answering in a little different way, all, the option left for us is now, Arjuna is asked this question, Krishna is answered like this. What's the connection between the two? I don't know. And simply you have to bring it down to the platform that this is right, black and white. This is right, this is wrong. It's not black and white. That's the problem. If it was black and white, it would have been so easy to do it. The whole world would have been so Krishna conscious if it was black and white. So, Kriya, Arjuna is asking this question, Mayavesha manoyemam nitya yukta upasade shraddhaya pareyo vedas teme yukta tamomata. So, so, in this way, whatever it may be, Krishna is saying there that continuous absorption, that is what is important there. The continuous absorption. How is that possible? Krishna is saying, Shraddhaya Parayo Veda Upedaha. Shraddhaya Parayo Veda. Shraddha in Para. That is what he is saying here. So that Shraddha, if you have in whichever process, if you get that Shraddha, you have escaped from here. That's the most important thing. How you escape from here is more important. Krishna is saying here, Mayavishya Mano, Krishna is talking from purely from the spiritual position, not based on the body anymore. Mayavishya Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasade Shraddhaya Parayo Vedas Teme Yukta Tamomada. Krishna's answer is, one who has got Shraddha in me, it doesn't matter this process or that process, he will escape from here. He is qualified. That is more important. Not whether somebody stand me as a personalist or somebody stand me as an impersonalist. What does it matter at the end? This is all our misunderstanding of the Shastram. Because we follow somebody else who is also blind leading the blind, we go behind that, isn't it? So that is why it says here that one who is closer to me, when Krishna says somebody is closer to me, means one who is experiencing Krishna every moment. That is what closer to me means. So, Yukta Dhamma Maha, the yogi, he says that. So, if you look at that, the commentary on that also, it mentions there that this particular chapter, Bhakti Yogam, if it's not properly understood, we will make up our own Bhakti Yogam. We'll create our own one chapter of Bhakti Yogam and we'll follow that. That's what will happen. That is why this chapter does require a lot of explanations to that, because it's a very subtle way Krishna has answered that question. So, Didivya Adhyam, Adhyayam, the Prabhudishu, that means from the second chapter onwards, Vibhuditi Andeshu Adhyayeshu, till the end of the 10th chapter, that means from second chapter to the end of 10th chapter, personalism is not discussed very much Have you noticed that? It is very much on a platform of Paramatmanaha, Brahmanaha, Aksharasya Vithasva, Sarva Visheshanasya Upasana Muktam. That means, if you look into Bhagavad Gita carefully, and if you read it and think about it, you will see there from second chapter, right up to the 10th chapter, there is not such a powerful presentation of the personal in that level. It is all on a very higher level of the platform of the soul, where Krishna talks from the... You can see the second chapter also, when Krishna talks about that, the third chapter, fourth chapter, everything is like that. Sarva Yoga Aishwarya Sarva Jnana Shaktimat Satto Ubhade Isharasya Tavacha Upasanam Tatra Tatra Uktam. In other words, then Krishna mentions there, Sarva Yogam Aishwaryam, all yoga system processes, Aishwaryam, all opulences, Sarva Jnana Shakti, knowledge, or everything, Mat Satto Ubhade Isharasya. Mentions there, through the Ubhadi of Satto Gunam, that absolute truth has taken the Ishwarasya, Tavacha Upasanam Tatra Tatra Uttam. So you can see here, up to the 10th chapter, from 2nd chapter up to the 10th chapter, the truth was discussed without any Ubhadi. You have to look into Bhagavad Gita seriously and think like this. Otherwise you are not thinking anything. You are just reading a book and accepting what it is written there. But if you study Bhagavad Gita like that, it won't go in inside deeply. But if you read there, you will see from the second chapter right up to the end of 9th chapter, most of the things what is spoken there, that without any Ubhadi. Ubhadi means that what we have Ubhadi now, isn't it? Body, mind, intelligence, all these are Ubhadis. So for the truth also, there is Ubhadi. For the absolute truth also there is Ubhadi. But what is the difference? Our Ubhadi is under Prakriti. Absolute truth Ubhadi is beyond Prakriti. It is not in the Prakriti sense. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that when I accept this body, I come under Yogamaya's influence, not on the Prakriti's influence. He mentions that in the ninth chapter, I think. Somewhere he mentions there that I have come like that because I am not under Prakriti. Prakriti is under me. Material nature is under me. Our Ubhadis are all under Prakriti's control. Krishna's Ubhadi or Absolute Truth's Ubhadi, whichever form Krishna has taken, they are that Absolute Truth's Ubhadi. For example, that form, that truth takes a form as Krishna, one form comes. Ramachandra, another form comes. Narasimhamurti, another form comes. Fish, boar, and Parashuram, and so many other forms, they are all Ubhadis of that truth. Ubhadis are manifest in that truth. Krishna is saying there that I don't come like you come here. He told Arjuna that, isn't it? I don't come like the way you come here. You come under Ubhadis under the material nature. I do not come like that. I take it what I want and I come here. Whichever form I want it, I take it. That is why in the Bhagavatam, how does it put it? Svecho pata pradag vabhu. It says, Svecho patam. He decides what form he wants to come here. He can change the form anytime he wants. Svecho bhata pratak vapu. Pratak vapu means body. And he accepts that. Svecho bhata pratak vapu. Uddhava says this about Krishna. That you are like that. You can accept whatever form you want at any time. You can give up that form. That's in your control. So here, from second chapter onwards, right up to the end of 9th chapter, there is no discussion about the form seriously. Now and then one or two things have touched and gone. But generally if you read, you will see a very strong impression of that absolute truth in its pure form. It is spoken there. That paramatmanaha brahmanaha aksharasyaha. Aksharam is the 8th chapter. Brahma upasana is the 4th and 5th chapter. If you look like that, you will see most of the things what spoken there is in that state. Then Arjuna says here, Vishwarupa dhyaye, that Vishwarupa form, Vishwarupa chapter, to Aishwaram Adhyam Samastha Jagadalmarubam Vishwarupam Todiyam Darshitam Upasanartham Eva Tvaya Talcha Darshayitva Uktavanasi Malkarmakrit. So you gave me this universal form. Arjuna gave me this. Arjuna says to Krishna, you have given me this universal form, and there you have also mentioned there that Malkarmakrit, who doing the
one who is executing karma for me.
Ityadi adaha ahamaneor ubhayoho pachayoho vishishta tara bubulsayatvam prachami iti Arjuna vacha.
So, and saying this, Arjuna is asking this question to Krishna. So you have to remember this background behind it when Arjuna is asking that question. From second chapter right up to the ninth chapter, it was all spoken about the truth without any upadis. It's only in the tenth chapter what you find when Krishna identifies with something and says to us, where what we call it as the opulence of the absolute. Isn't it? Different opulences are spoken there. Where Krishna says, among the commandants, I am Skanda. Among the rivers, I am Ganga River. Among the mountains, I am Himalaya. Like this, among the horses, I am Uchaishravas. Among the elephants, I am Airavatam. Among the sages, I am Narada. Where Krishna is identifying with a personality there. In the tenth chapter. Up to the end of ninth chapter, there is no identification with anything. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Everything from the platform of the soul. It's a direct lecture from the soul. Platform of the soul. That is the big difference you have to observe when you read Bhagavad Gita. And from in this 10th chapter, where Krishna comes out strongly about this different personalities whom he is referring to. So all that Arjuna had in his mind when he is asking this question. And it is in the 11th chapter, first time Arjuna saw Krishna as the whole creation, universal form in other words. The whole creation, Krishna is seeing, Arjuna is seeing that and taking that as Krishna. So Arjuna's question here is that form which I have seen as the whole world, one who is maya evam bhaktastum parivase, those who worship that form as the whole world and follow that in his as a spiritual life, or those shraddhaya paramedasteme yukta tamamada, he says yajapi aksharam avyaktam teshanga yoga vitama, or those who are following the path of analysis of the soul, Brahmavidya, they follow through the process of intelligence and study Shastram, and through Upanishads they follow that process of worshipping the truth in its acharam avyaktam form. Who is better? That was the question. Again, be very clear about that question, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. If you just read that verse like that and see the translation, think that that's the question. No, this whole background you have to keep it inside. That with this background inside, Arjuna is asking this question. He had seen the universal form. Prior to that, he has seen all the 8 chapters, finishing at 2nd to 9th chapter, where no upadis were spoken at that time. And only in the 10th chapter, first time, Krishna started identifying with some upadi and saying that I am this, I am this, I am this, like that. That is one side. Added to that, Arjuna also seen the universal form. Arjuna's mind, this question came up, that this universal form I am seeing, and people can worship this form, somebody who absorbs their mind in this universal form, or someone who is searching the truth on the platform of the soul through the process of jnanam, which is also mentioned there, that ejapi aksharam avyaktam. Arjuna used the two words, aksharam avyaktam, isn't it? Aksharam avyaktam. Aksharam means Om, Akshara Brahmam, Parabrahmam. Brahma Upasana, it's another word it is called. Aksharam Avyaktam, unmanifested it is. We don't know, it hasn't got a form to worship. But in this world also you can see, there are people who are very much in tune with that. There will always be. Because it is the way of the world, everybody is different. And there are other people who cannot worship the truth in that way. It's not possible. Why? Because they are so absorbed in the body. They can only relate with another body. They cannot see anything else. So this is the question from Arjuna. And that is why when Krishna answered that question, Krishna is saying there, my avesha mano yemam nitya yukta upasate. Krishna is saying there that nitya yuktam upasate shraddhaya parayo vedaste me yukta tam. Arjuna, that is not important. Important thing is Shraddha. That's the answer. Important thing is how, what is your process is not important. Whether you have got Shraddha or not, that is important. Imagine how important is Shraddha. In Bhakti Yogam or Jnana Yogam, doesn't matter. Shraddha is important. Without Shraddha, it cannot go further. It will not move further. Evam
ಇತಿ ಅತೀತ ಅನಂತರ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇನ ಉಕ್ತಮರ್ಥಂ ಪರಾಮರ್ಶತಿ ಮಲ್ಕರ್ಮಕೃತ್ ಇತ್ಯಾದಿನಾಂ ಏವಂ ಸತತಯುಕ್ತ ನೈರಂತರ್ಯೇಣ ಭಗವತ್ ಕರ್ಮಾದು ಯಥಾರ್ಥ ಅರ್ಥೇ ಸಮಾಹಿತಾಃ ಸಂತ ಪ್ರವೃತ್ತ ಇತ್ಯರ್ಥಃ ಯೇ ಭಕ್ತ ಅನನ್ಯ ಶರಣ ಸಂತ ತ್ವಾಂ ಯಥಾದರ್ಶಿತಂ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪಂ ಪರಿಭಾಸತೆ ಧ್ಯಾಯಂತಿ. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೆನ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಸ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ ಇನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಾನ್ಷಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಸ್ಲಿ ಅಬ್ಸಾರ್ಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಸತತಯುಕ್ತ. ಸತತಯುಕ್ತ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಸತತಂ ಆಲ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್. And they are always seeing your universal form. You know that when you read Bhagavatam, you will see this. Out of the 9 yogis who came to talk to Nila, the question was raised, Bhagavata Dharmam, he asked, Kavi Maharshi replied, is it not? Symptoms of a devotee, Hari Maharshi replied. Yeah. Then, Maya, Andariksha replied. Andariksha replied about Maya. Kavi Hari Andariksha. Then how to cross over Maya? That was spoken by Prabuddha. Prabuddha spoke the answer for that. You will see in the Bhagavatam in 3-4 chapters it goes, isn't it? The Navayogi, Nimnavayogi Sambhadam. There you will see that. Bhagavad Dharmam, symptoms of a devotee. Maya, how to cross over Maya. Then there's a question comes there, Kavi Hari Andarisha Prabhudan, Pipalayana Maharshi, who is Narayana? A question came, who is Krishna? Have you noticed that? There is 7 or 8 very heavy verses there. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. 7 or 8 heavy verses, big verses. And if you read those verses, you will see how Pipalayana Maharshi presented Krishna to King Nimi. He didn't present it like the way we present Krishna. His presentation of Krishna is very important. He asked a question, who is Narayana? Narayana means Krishna. Who is Narayana? He asked a question. And if you look at the answer, what has been given there, you will see the very interesting explanation there. Stityul bhava pralehe durahe turasya. It begins with that verse. Pipalayana vacha. Stityul bhava pralehe durahe turasya. Everything is centered around Andaryami inside. You can notice that there. Yo sapna jagara susruptishu. In sapnam, dream state, deep sleep state, vacant state, who is present inside and controlling all that? Who goes through the different stages of life, but who doesn't experience any change? Like this, 5 or 6 verses, there we discussed that when we discussed Bhagavatam, 11th canto. So that verses itself is an indication that a great personality like Pipalayana Maharshi is presenting Krishna like this to them. Krishna like this to them. So here also you can see that E Bhaktaha Tekta Sarveshana Sanyasta Sarvakarmanam Yathavishadam Brahmaksharam Nirastaha Sarvobhaditad Avyaktam Akarana Gocharam. In other words, that by all his activities, a devotee, ananya sharanaha, completely surrendered to Krishna, tvam yada darshidam vishwarupam paribhasate dhyayanti. So, they worship only the universal form. They worship only the universal form. It is in there you will see also, I think it is in the second chapter or something, in that Kaihari Maharshi also, Kavi Maharshi says, kamvayum agnim salilam mahimcha, ಜನೇಶು ಸತ್ಯೇಶು ದಿಶೋ ದ್ರುಮಾದಿನ್ ಸರಿಲ್ ಸಮುದ್ರಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹರೇ ಶರೀರಂ ಯಲ್ಕಿಂಜ ಬೇದಂ ಪ್ರಣಮೇದನನ್ಯಾಹ. ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಹೌ ಡಸ್ ಹಿ ಸೀ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಖಂ ವಾಯು ಅಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಲಿಲಂ ಮಹಿಂಚ ಆಲ್ ದ ಫೈವ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಜನೇ ದಿಶೇಷು ಸತ್ಯೇಷು ಜನೋ ದ್ರುಮಾದಿನ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎವ್ರಿವೇರ್ ಎವರ್ ವಿ ಲುಕ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಡಸ್ ಹಿ ಫೈಂಡ್ Saril samudramsha hare shariram. That all the rivers, trees, banks, trees and oceans, see everything. Hare shariram, Krishna's body. Yal kinja bhudam praname dananya. He is seeing in such a way, nothing else exists for him except this is all Krishna's body. In other words, that universal form even spoken there also in the in that chapter. And it is the same Kavi Maharshi is saying, Sarva Bhudeshi Yappashi El Bhagavad Bhavama Alpana.
Bhutani Bhagavat Yesha Savai Bhagavad Ottama. First class devotees qualifications he's saying there. So this personalism, impersonalism, when we discuss, we have to be very, very careful that it is not something, a kind of a battle between the two. Somehow or the other, this misconception is in many people's mind, that it is a battle going on there. Somebody is my enemy, I have to finish him up. My project is very clear. What I have been sent here to do that. And I've taken that role and I'm going to do it whole lifetime. And then you know what will happen after that. So the thing is that when we don't understand what Krishna is saying properly, we are not analyzed it properly, we are not thought about it properly, we do get into some wrong conclusions like that. Here he says here that those people who are going in that route, going through that process, for them there is no vasanas inside. That is the reason behind it. When someone doesn't have vasanas inside, you know what I mean by that. Vasanas means that through our karmam, we have created certain impressions inside, some tendencies in us. It has happened. So someone who has lost all the vasanas inside is free from vasana, because Jnanamargam is normally they who follow that process. Jnanamargam is one who has probably wiped out most of his vasanas from inside. That means they don't have much of a desire for enjoying this world or attachment or attraction towards the world in any way. When that happens, so not only that, he also mentions there that what they see through the senses in this world, they know that it is not real. They have come to that understanding. So that is, it is in that background Arjuna is asking this question. Because if you have come to that understanding that something is not real, what Krishna says that anityam asukham lokam. Anityam means not real, isn't it? Asukham lokam. Imam prapya bhajaswamam. That is Krishna's answer. That come to spiritual life and realize the truth. That is what Krishna is saying to us. World you can't change because it's temporary. And it is also full of misery. These two principles has come from Krishna direct to us to wake us up to the reality. Anityam asukham logam. But then he gives the solution that you can't do anything about those two things, which means anityam and asukham logam. What you can do is imam prapya bhajaswamam. You can take Krishna consciousness seriously. That's all you can do. Other things you can't do anything, that's not in our control. So keeping that in that, here is Arjuna asking, Shri Bhagavan Vancham. Yetu Acharu Pasakaha Samyak Darshana Nivurteshana Te Tavan Nishtandu Tan Padiyad Vaktavyam Tad Ubarishtad Vakshyama Yetu Itare. So Krishna says, leave behind those who have lost all their vasanas and who have God worshipping that formless. Leave them behind for the moment. Say that, because in his answer Krishna mentions more about Shraddha. There. Which process they are following, don't worry about it now. Let me talk, he says. Krishna says, Mayavesha mano yema nitya yukta upastate. Always absorbed in me, that is more important as far as Krishna is concerned. Whether through jnanam or through bhakti, but absorb in me. Jnanamargam goes through the process of knowledge, realize the self, but self is Krishna, that way. Bhakti Margam goes through Bhagavan as Supreme Personality of Godhead. We surrender to Krishna but absorbs in Krishna. Either way, absorption is more important but not the process. That is the, and the reason Krishna puts it later on, you will see fifth verse, Krishna says, the reason I am saying that is, klesham adhigatarastesham. It is very difficult, Krishna says, in that avyaktam, avyaktam means unmanifested, akshara brahmam, to get absorbed in that. Why? Because those who are absorbed in the body a lot, which means all of us, isn't it? When you are absorbed in the body, it is not possible to get absorbed in that aspect, brahmam. That is what Krishna is saying. Not possible means, he says, he doesn't say it's not impossible, he says it's difficult, he says, klesham. The word he used is klesham. Klesham adhigadaram, he says. Klesho adhigadarastesham avyaktam asaktam chetasam, he says. To get attached to that Brahma upasana or
Because there are people who can do that. Because why? They are free from the body. Bodily identity is not there in them. They manage to come out of it through knowledge. They manage to escape from the influence of the body. We are very strongly under the influence of the body. Is it not? But there are people who have come out of the body. They are freed from the body's influence. They are not identifying with the body anymore due to knowledge. That's all it is. Nothing else. Due to perfection in their knowledge, they have come to that state. But they will go in that way, which you can't say anything to them. They have got every right to do what they have to, because that is their samskaram inside. Come from the previous lifetimes, maybe. It has to come, but there may be very few like that. But majority of the people who are in the bodily concept of life, for them that process will be difficult, Krishna says. Will be difficult. It's not that one is better than the other. That's the wrong understanding. Understanding is that it will be a difficult process for those who are following that process. That is how Krishna's answer comes in the fifth verse. You will see, Klesho Atikatarastesham Avyaktam Asakta Chedasam Avyaktahi Gadir Dukham Dehavadbiravapede. Dehavadbiravapede means who are absorbed in the body. Who are absorbed in the body. It is difficult. And that is the practically Krishna is saying there, that you have to keep all these things in the picture before you make any difference about that. So here you will see here, my Vishwarupe Parameshwari, you will see in that second verse he says, Mayi Vishwarupe Sarveshwari Aveshya Samadhaya Mano Ye Bhaktaha Sandaha Mam Sarva Yogeshwaranam Adhishwaram Sarvajnyam Vimukta Ragadi Klesha Timira Drishtim Nitya Yuktaha Adida Andaradhyayando Ndokta Shlogartha Nyayena Satata Yukta Sandu Upasade Shantaya Paraya Prakrishtaya Upaita Teme Mama Mataha Vipredaha Yukta Tama Iti. So anybody, whether it is a jnani or a devotee, they can come to that state, which state? Complete Shraddha in their process, provided they get freed from ragam dvesham. They are freed from raga dvesham. And they are freed from that. And if they execute that Krishna consciousness in full faith, then they are good. They are good. So you can see here something going back to the beginning of Bhagavad Gita here. Krishna says in the second, third chapter, you will see Krishna mentions about raga dvesham, isn't it? So if you want to go through that jnanamargam, it is important that we are free from ragadvesham. Ragadvesham vimukteistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Atma vishaya vidheyatma prasadam adhigacchati. Krishna mentions there, isn't it? So they are pre-qualifications for that margam, that process. Pre-qualification is there. So you can't say one process better than the other. Reason is this, that jnanamargam requires certain pre-qualifications. Bhakti margam, open to all. Open to all. And whichever level we want to fit in, you can fit in. That's the interesting thing of the bhakti process. You can be a very brand new devotee or neophyte or whichever way you want to call it, or pragrida bhakta, whichever, or you can be a pure devotee in the highest level. Wherever you want to make yourself, you can put it in that category. But the difficulty is this, that that Jnanamargam, what Krishna has spoken there, is only possible, he says, that when you are free from all vasanas inside. Vasana comes from ragadvesham. Ragadvesham is the indication of that vasanas inside. So those who are escaped from, freed from ragadvesham, those who are freed from kartratvam, bhoktratvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, such people will fit in with that process easily. They can do that. They should be able to follow that. So we'll stop there a few minutes. It's 4 o'clock and then we'll continue after that. So, Krishna mentions there, Mayaveshyamana Nitya Yukta Upasade Shraddhaya Pareyobedas Teme Yukta Tamomada. That is what Krishna mentions there. In other words, Mayaveshyamana, day and night, one who is absorbed in Krishna. One who is absorbed in Krishna, and they are the best. That is how Krishna mentions there, isn't it? Shraddhaya paramo parayobedasteme yuktatamo mada. They are the best, Krishna says. He mentions there, Mayaveshamana yemam nitya yukta upasate. Nitya yukta upasate. That they are so absorbed in me, nitya yukta they are called. You cannot change them. They are so fixed in their absorption in me. Mayaveshamano yemam nitya yukta upasate shraddhaya. Their shraddha is so good, so strong, that they are absorbed in me all the time. They are the best, Krishna says. Shraddhaya parayo vedaste me yukta tamo mata. So, in Arjuna's question, if you look, evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasate. In reply to that, Krishna is saying that one who is absorbed in me all the time is the best. Is the best. Now, you have to remember, Krishna is speaking from a platform of the soul. Who is Krishna? He is the soul of everyone in this living entities. So, in the next verse, Krishna is answering to the second part of Arjuna's question. Second part of the Arjuna's question. Let's look at the question again. What he says there. Krishna is saying there in the third verse. He mentions in the third and fourth verses, if you look there together, there isn't it? So, there he says, let's read that verse. Yetvaksharam anirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragama chindyam cha kudastam ajalam dhruvam. Yatvaksharamanirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragama chindyam cha kudastam ajaladruvam sanniyamendriyagramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvandi mameva sarvabhudahiderataha sanniyamendriyagramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvandi mameva sarvabhudahiderataha. Now, in that question, when Arjuna asked, first verse, evam satadayutaye bhaktastvam paryupasate yejapi aksharam avyaktam teshamki yogavitama. In that, answering to that verse, first, how Krishna answered, that you have to look. That is the second, third, fourth, fifth, all these verses are answer. Krishna's answer, isn't it? Krishna's answer goes on like that. So, the second verse, he is answering that question by saying that those who have got Shraddha in me, he is the best. That's how the answer. Those who have got Shraddha in me is the best. And then third and the fourth verse, third verse particularly, you will see there that is the answer to that second part of Arjuna's question. Ejapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga viktama. You see that? The third and fourth line in the first verse. Yechapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogavitama. Answer to that is third verse. Yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate. See that word? That is the answer to that, the third and fourth line. There are two questions in Arjuna's verse. Evam satayuktaye bhaktastam paryupasate. That is the verse referring to those who are absorbed in Krishna upasana in the universal form. Or ejabhi aksharam avyaktam tenshamge yogavitama. So in that question, the answer, Krishna has answered it in this way. That Krishna's answer, second verse, is the answer to that evam sadayuttaya bhaktasam varivasade. Krishna is saying, the one who has got Shraddha in me is the best. One who has got the Shraddha in me is the best. In other words, that one who is completely all the time absorbed in spiritual life, through the Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, doesn't get Shraddha is there, he's the best. That's the answer. And then in the third verse, Krishna is saying, Edu Aksharam Anirdesham Avyaktam, which is referring to Arjuna's second part of the question. Ejapi Aksharam Avyaktam. That is answered in that third verse. Now, what Krishna has done there, he went on giving a number of words to express the soul. Kodastam, achalam, dhruvam, sarvatragamam, achindyam, all this is are in reference to the soul, because soul cannot be expressed otherwise. How to express the soul. So Krishna has followed that route and says there, by those who, I'll read the translation, by those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. So that's the way Krishna is saying there, that they also come back to me. Now that is why Krishna knows that both devotees and the jnanis will come back to him. But point here is, Krishna is saying whether you jnanim or bhakti is not the important issue here, whether Shraddha is there or not. That is the Krishna's answer. So here you can see, in Prabhupada's purport also, if you read, you will see there that after many births, the man of wisdom seeks refuge in me, knowing Vasudeva is all. When a person comes to full knowledge after many births, he surrenders unto Lord Krishna. Then he goes on, and at the end, you will see at the end of that second paragraph, then one comes to understand that the Supreme Soul is present everywhere. Realizing this, one envies no living entity. He sees no difference between man and animal, because he sees the soul only, not the outer covering. But for the common man, this method of impersonal realization is very difficult. That is how Krishna says, it's common man, it is difficult. So he doesn't say it is the out of the two processes, this is the bad one and the other one is the better one. No, for the common man it is difficult, he says. And he'll mention that in the next verse also. You will see, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. For those who are in the bodily concept of life, for them it is very difficult, Krishna says. So let's look at that verses now. So here you can see that you will see the word. Now all those words you have to understand properly. Aksharam, Kodastam, Achalam, Dhruvam, Anirdeshyam, all that. What does that mean, isn't it? So, Yojapi Aksharam Avyaktam. Then Arjuna asked that question, Aksharam, isn't it? Aksharam. Aksharam does not mean letter. Normally, aksharam means letter, isn't it? Aksharam means letter. So, the reason writing letters, isn't it? Letter is aksharam. If you translate it in English, it is letter. Aksharam is letter. But letter, why it's mentioned like the aksharam is that after writing, learning letters, how to write letters and everything. You have to get to know the truth after that, which is acharam. That's how that word comes. That means, by studying and by how to write letters, and that means, what do you call it, education, yeah? After education, you have to know the truth behind all these things, which means the absolute truth, in other words, which does not die, which doesn't get destroyed. If it happens, then there is benefit of aksharam. That is how in the shastram it is. That means, suppose you are educated, shastram will only accept you as educated if you have realized the truth. Otherwise you are uneducated. From the shastri point of view, you are uneducated. In the modern world, if you go to university, get all of some degrees from here and there, study a lot and get a lot of degrees and all, you are very educated, they'll say, isn't it? We talk about that in that way. But from shastram, viewpoint of shastram, you are not educated. You're only educated when you realize the truth. Because that's what the word aksharam is indicating. Kshara means something that is getting destroyed. Aksharam means that doesn't get destroyed. Aksharam. That is how it is. So all that we go to school and colleges and study there, if it is all helping to realize the truth, the soul, then you can say it is favorable. Education is favorable. Otherwise, nirakshirobi yasya jithe nirakshara. It is in the shastram, all these things spoken. They are saying, nirakshara kuchhi. In other words, one who do not know how to write and read, but if he has knowledge of the soul, he is educated. He is educated. Or one who has Krishna consciousness or self-realization, he is educated. Not one who has got, there are many, many great personalities who are self-realized, but they don't even, cannot write their name, letters in this world. There are many people like that in the past has happened. They didn't get big degrees and all that from the university. Sometimes we misunderstand that only if you go to university, you will get all these things. This is a foolish understanding. On the other hand, sometimes it becomes as a problem, all these university degrees. It does happen the other way, it becomes. So one who has got experience of Krishna or knowledge of the soul, knowledge means an experience of the soul, then even if he doesn't write, it doesn't mean anything, even if he doesn't know, does not matter at all, because he knows aksharam. He knows, he is educated as far as shastram is concerned. So once it so happened to a great Mahatma, one of his devotees brought a notebook and gave it to him and told him to write something in that. He said, I can't write, he said. He's not educated, never went to school. He absorbed in the, somehow got attracted to Krishna consciousness or spiritual life, and then realized the truth at the end, and then he had no education, school education, he never went to school or anything. So somebody, what he became so famous, his devotees comes up to him with a notebook and told him, you know sometimes how it is. In the modern world it's in a different way. They'll tell you to sign the book. This is the present system, isn't it? You tell them if you can sign the book. Suppose you have written a book and you are selling it, and you sign and give it, and that is considered to be a recognition. That's a modern system. But in the olden days, it wasn't like that. So some devotees will go and with a notebook and say, please write something as an instruction to me. So this person said that, I can't write anything. I have not been educated in that way. So so here you can see that, so he said, if you can't write any verses, at least write one letter on that. So he struggled hard to write a letter and give it to him. So one another devotee who was not educated also, he wrote a verse like this, Egam akshanam hridi nirandare bhasadam swayam lipyade katham. He said, his reply was like this, Egam aksharam hridi nirandare. That akshara brahmam is inside a sandaryami, as the soul, when he is continuously how would I put, illuminations inside, from illuminates inside from there. Bhasadam Soyam Lipyade Katham, how can I put it in writing, he said. That is the realization, you see. There are people like that, they have not studied Shastram, but they have realized the truth. So he is saying there, Egam Aksharam Hridi Nirandare. That Aksharam, because in their understanding, Aksharam means not this education what we are talking about. Aksharam means one who has performed Upasana and realized the truth. So they are experiencing their experience, they are putting it like this. Egam Aksharam Hridi Nirandare. Always in the heart, when it is illuminating, Vasadam Swayam Lipyade Katham. What can I write? Because it's illuminating inside. I cannot put it in words, he says. I cannot put it in words. So, and that is continuously happening inside. So how to write about that, he says. It is not possible to write about that. Is it not? He says like that. So Aksharam means soul. We'll understand. You know how they educate the soul? Because we cannot understand the soul, we will imagine something in our brain and mind, soul. Or sometimes we'll think, oh, it's a light coming from somewhere. Or sometimes we will think that soul is some kind of a dream I got about the soul. I experienced like this. Is it soul? They will ask. People ask all sorts of questions about the soul. Because soul is a very difficult thing, isn't it? Difficult in the sense, because we try to understand the soul through mind and intelligence instead of experiencing the beauty of the soul. So till we get that experience, our mind and intelligence will be busy in trying to understand the soul. That's what will happen all the time. So here he says that soul, Aksharam means Atma, our own soul, or our Swarubam, our pure identity, not the body in other words. The body is the words. So Arjuna says here, Vyaktam means what's clear, isn't it? That means Vyaktam. Word Vyaktam means what is clear, what you can see with your eyes. So here you have got these five things, five senses, isn't it? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. So and all these five senses cannot give you an experience of the soul. Through these five senses, you can't experience the soul. This is the problem. Mind, we have the mind, we have the intelligence, and we have the five senses. Throughout the day, we are trying to understand what the soul is through the mind, intelligence. And if we can get it through the senses, we think, oh, we got it now. But the difficulty with the soul is none of these five senses can give you any experience of the soul. You cannot see it. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Fire cannot burn it, water cannot moist it, wind cannot take it away. All kinds of things. Why? Because hearing Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham, sound, touch, smell, hear and taste, all these things have nothing to do with the soul. Soul cannot have be brought into the control of these five senses. Senses are helpless at that time. So because it is like that, you cannot hear about that, and you cannot taste that, you cannot smell it, you cannot hear it, you cannot see it, you cannot touch it. And therefore, it is called avyaktam. That is how the word avyaktam comes there. You see the word avyaktam? Krishna, Arjuna uses the word ejapi aksharam avyaktam, he says. Avyaktam means this. That thing you cannot experience through senses. You cannot see the soul, you cannot hear the soul, you cannot touch the soul, you cannot taste the soul, you cannot smell the soul. All the five things. Because it cannot be done through any of these five senses, it is called avyaktam. That's what that word there, Arjuna is saying there. Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasade ejabi aksharam avyaktam. See that? It is aksharam, it is avyaktam. It is aksharam because it has no, it is timeless. It remains forever, aksharam. Aksharam doesn't happen to that. And that, so that is the two words for the soul, aksharam and avyaktam. These two words are two terminologies for the soul. So after saying that, he says here that aksharam avyaktam. So you can see this here that this is a very important thing. You see how scientific and how logical is Krishna consciousness is. We are not into this business called religion. We are not interested in that. It means nothing. To call ourselves as Hindu, Christian, Muslim and thinking that this is, we are all following spiritual life, it's madness it is. But Vedantam and this philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita is beyond all that. We'll explain that a little bit more. You will appreciate this point. That so here, aksharam means the soul, and aksharam is also called avyaktam. Avyaktam. Why avyaktam? Because it cannot be experienced through the senses. So normally in this world, if you talk to anyone who has not been educated spiritually, he will say like this to you, I can't see God, so he doesn't exist. He will say to you like this, isn't it? I can't see God, so he doesn't exist for me. That will be their logic. So here the question is, so their answer, their point is, because I can't see, God doesn't exist. Our logic is, what exists, you cannot see it. And what you can see, it has no existence. This is the problem. Vedantam is like that. You see how Vedavyasa Maharshi is extremely subtle person. His power of absorption is so high. Otherwise, to create Brahma Sutram from a personality like that, it's impossible. We say, is Krishna's another incarnation, is a literary incarnation. When we say literary incarnation, we think that, oh, he has written so many nice literature. He's very good storyteller, like a great storytellers in a, storyteller. He's not a storyteller. He's actually in such a deep level, his thoughts going all the time. Muni. He's called Muni, he's in Maharshi. He's saying here that what exists that you can never see. And what you see, it has no existence. This is a very fundamental principle in Vedanta. And if you keep this principle in mind, you will come out of your avidya, out of your ignorance. Because these people who are asking this question, that they are saying to us, that I can't see God, prove it to me, God exists. This is how their logic goes. Our logic is that what exists, you can never see it. Because what you are so-called seeing is so limited it is, that Vedantam, it is already there, put for this idea very clearly, that avyaktam. Avyaktam means none of your senses. Not only that you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it, you can't even hear it. None of them. The truth, you can't do anything. Because they are all under the limit of senses. So there, in the commentary you will see this, Bhashyam very precisely mentions this, very strongly they put it, that what you can see, what exists, you can never see it. And what you see, whatever you are seeing, it has no existence. And that is the truth also. So many things you are seeing here, isn't it? Tell me one thing which has existence. You can see that also, logic is correct, isn't it? For only thing is, something may last very long time, something may last a short time, but none of them has reality, no existence in them. So similarly, so what really exists, it has to be experienced, but not to be known. Do you understand what I'm saying? If something is existing, anything which has got existence, it has to be experienced. It cannot be known. Knowing is the function of the senses. Yeah? Knowing is a function of the senses. What existing, what is existing, that has to be only experienced. It cannot be known. Knowing and experiencing is different things, isn't it? Knowing is through senses. Experiencing is through the soul. Soul experiences. So, and whatever you know here, it can never be experienced. This is the same thing, principally in another way if you put it. What you see here, what exists in this real, it has no, you cannot be seen. And whatever you see, it has no existence. One thing. And what exists, it is subject to experience, but it cannot be known what exists. And whatever you are knowing, it cannot be experienced. These two things. These are all in a only very sushma darshi, one who has got a very pure purity inside, and at the same time, one who has got a very good subtle level, able to accept this. This is why they call it as prajna shuddhi. You know, in the process of knowledge, when they come, these are the preliminary things they have to learn. That is how they escape from the influence of this modern science and the and other knowledge what we have developed in the world, because that is no use to them. They already rejected that straight away. Because in their eyes, they see that we are conditioned by the four defects, isn't it? Brahmam, Pramadam, Vipralipsam, Karanapadavam, which you know what it means. That means to be under illusion, tendency to commit mistakes, propensity to cheat, imperfect senses. This is what we are. And the knowledge what we have created through imperfect senses, under illusion, with a tendency to commit mistakes and propensity to cheat, can never be perfect. That's the point. So therefore, Shastram in the very outset says to us that what exists, don't try to know it, what exists. And what you have known through your knowledge, what you have acquired, don't try to find the truth in that. It is not permanent. It has no astitvam, in other words. Similarly, what exists, you can experience that, but you cannot come to know about it. And if you come to know anything through your senses, that cannot be experienced. These three, four things is important to know in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, this chapter of Bhagavad Gita is difficult to follow. In fact, in all the chapters from now on, from 13 to 18, is all based on this principle. It is so difficult otherwise. Bhagavad Gita is so difficult in some sense that when you know these fundamentals of Bhagavad Gita, that this is all Vedantam comes from the Brahma Sutram. Only those who have that background of the Acharyas who have given us the commentary, they explain these things to us. That keep this in your mind when you are studying Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita in a very summary way to Arjuna in a short time in the battlefield. And through Krishna's mercy, Arjuna understood everything. Why? Because Krishna wanted Arjuna to understand. And it's the same thing with Uddhava also. Uddhava also said to Krishna that I can't understand what you are saying. The whole thing is so confusing to me, he said. So then he prayed to Krishna like this. Whatever you want to understand, whatever you want me to understand, to what extent you want me to understand, I will understand that much. That's what he said. That's how Uddhava mentioned to Krishna. That is how complex the whole spiritual life is in that sense. In the sense that, because our mind and intelligence is a constant interference in this spiritual life. They create their own world and they try to cause us problems as well. So experience is the nature of the soul. Experience is the nature of the soul or Chaitanyam. So here you can see that many times we hear things, isn't it? In Salsangam, what happens? Hearing. Shravanam. Shravanam is what happens in Salsangam. Hearing process, isn't it? So, normally, I'm not criticizing anybody. In Salsangam, you should not write anything. We make these mistakes, I'm saying. Why? Because when you write what happens is, you write it down. And then you will keep it somewhere. You are taking it to the memory thing. Memory is not spiritual life. Remember that. Memory is like mind and intelligence. It's another aspect of the brain which you will try to use the mind and brain intelligence to it. Mind and intelligence to it. To take it out of the memory. That means what must have happened when you heard that effect you lose. when you hear something, because these are very subtle truths in the Krishna consciousness. These truths you cannot change it. And if you put your own, you give your own given time, and if you absorb in these things, you will see that what Krishna is saying does make sense. Does make sense. Because what the problem is that for so long a time in life, we got used to this, using the mind and intelligence in everything. Memory, mind, intelligence, all these things. We have used it so much that we have found it very difficult to come out of its grip. So it become our habit. But in Shravanam process, it is not proper to go in that route. What is required is to keep without any chitavritti developing inside. That is what one should try. Not to allow the mind to wander around, if possible. Whatever to extent possible, to hold it back. That means just to sit and listen. Because this is the truth. Krishna saying, the truth will do its own work. You don't have to do anything. If you keep hearing the truth, truth will start working from inside. That is the reality. That's the reality. It's not by our... If we try to do it through mind intelligence, what will happen is, for some time, you may forget it after a while, because normally what happens is we get absorbed in the world again, isn't it, when you go away. And that what has happened then is that you have not got the message correct, because you didn't hear it properly. Shravanam didn't happen. But on the other hand, you have chittavritti has allowed to happen. And a lot of chittavrittis happens means chittam inside was not in a properly tuned to hear. Hearing means at that time, it says here that, so that is why you can also see this. How many things do you try to keep it in memory? A lot, isn't it, in life? Some people, they can remember a lot of things. When to pay the bills, when to take the children to school, when to go for shopping. Like these hundreds of things people keep in their memory. Do they not? They keep so many things. And added to that, they'll also keep things in their memory from the workplace. What all we have to do tomorrow when I go to work, what all I have to do there. Added to that, if they are interested in other things, say it's like football, they'll be remembering all the goals, who has scored, how many goals they have scored, in which game, who has won, all those memory. So memory is there in everybody, and we keep so much in our memory. We keep so much in our memory. But what, what is the use? At the end, if you look at it, what is the use? You can also notice another thing. I don't know, it depends on people. As you get older, when you lose your interest in certain things, you can't remember them anymore. That is when you start writing down. It will happen to me, so it should happen to you also. I think so. That you can't remember many things. And then what you do the next thing? You write it down. Suppose I have a doctor appointment tomorrow, and I got the letter 10 days ago, and I know I'll surely forget it. So what the surgery does now, they send you a text saying that you got this appointment. But sometimes you forget, you look at the mobile also, so you won't remember that. So next thing what you do is you write on a piece of paper and put it on the table, where you will constantly see that, either taking prasadam or walking through that way, you will notice it, isn't it? So that's the way it is. Memory is like that. So you can see the uselessness of this memory. Memory is not of a much thing, big thing. And similarly, so many things like that, as you get older, now they are saying you got this new illnesses like Alzheimer and dementia and all that. They can't remember, they don't know what they are, they don't know who they are. And that is an extreme case when that happens, isn't it? So things can vary. That what I'm saying is, this memory, intelligence, mind, all these are dependent on the body. That's my point. That mind, intelligence, memory, all they are dependent on the body. Dependent on the body. So long as you are dependent on something which is dependent on the body, it is not going to get you to the proper understanding, realization of the truth. Therefore, but the only thing he says here that more important than the memory is how to hear. How to hear. That's more important. Because not only in Salsangam, very people who are very advanced in spiritual life, they can even hear the sound of the wind. They will take note. They have become so subtle inside, they can even hear the sound of the wind. So, so that means they have become so finer inside, they can really enjoy the solitude and the silence of the nature, the silence of the nature. To such an extent, they have become inward looking. They have become inward looking. Because being in the world, in the middle of so much noise and all sorts of things, what is going on, mind will always be in a state of a lot of thoughts coming back and forth. Chitavritti, as they call it, will happen. But as much more and more, that shanti comes inside, our hearing power gets better. Proper hearing, I'm saying. Not that other hearing, for example, if I talk to you something, you will hear that. Or you tell me to do something, I'll do it. But that is not the hearing. Proper hearing is that when you start hearing, that the subtle message of that what was spoken goes inside and start working there. Only then that hearing process is perfect. Hearing process is perfect. So, in other words, Krishna says here that we are going back to this verse now. Krishna is mentioning there, etu aksharam anirdesham. We are discussing that verse. Avyaktam paryupasade sarvatragamam chindyam cha kudastam achalam dhruvam. Why Krishna used so many words to explain the soul? You will ask that question, isn't it? Why did he do that? Because Krishna is seeing the difficulty in explaining that thing called soul to us. So many angles Krishna is saying, talking to us about the soul. These are all, what do they call it? You know, for one object, there are different names. So, there's something in English they say for that. Not exactly. There's some other word. Remember that. I don't know. One word, one object, but it's known by different names. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. So here, the soul is so difficult to explain it to anyone. So what Krishna is doing here is, he is kudastam, he is achalam, he is dhruvam, and he is sarvatragam, he is ajindyam. All these things, adjectives he is using to represent the soul. Krishna is hoping by saying like that you will get some concept of the soul's nature. Otherwise what will happen is we will take some form, we'll start imagining in our mind. This is the problem. Mind will say, let's imagine the soul, because mind has got this problem. When mind can't understand anything, it will try to get in its understanding. In it, mind means that mayam means to measure. When it cannot measure something, what it does is starts little bit of imagination. And then imagination also, it's not getting anywhere, it will go to sleep. That's what the mind does. In all cases, everybody does the same thing. Suppose I keep telling you about Brahman, 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 I keep saying that. You are thinking, what is this Brahman, Brahman, Brahman? No, after a while, that's why your heads will go like this. It goes like that at that point. Why? Because it's all Brahman. What can you do? So you see the difficulty. So that's why Krishna knows the problem, that talking about Brahman is not so easy. That's why, first of all, this avidya inside us, that only I will believe something if I see it. That's our conditions, isn't it? Our conditioning. And Krishna is saying that whatever you are seeing, it's not the truth, first thing. And if you are experiencing something, that is the only truth. Otherwise, it's not. What you experience is the truth. What you see is not the truth. And whatever that exists, when we say exists, the same thing which Krishna spoke in the second chapter. Na sado vidyate bhavo. You see how important that verse is. That verse is Krishna saying, na sado vidyate bhavo. Asat has abhavam, is always no bhavam. That's exactly the same meaning. Asat has no bhavam. And sat has no abhavam. That is how it is. Na asado vidyate bhavaha, na abhavo vidyate sadaha, Krishna mentions there. Remember? Second chapter. So, you can see that same thing in principle applies everywhere. And it comes to the soul particularly. It is there they started, isn't it? So, there Krishna is saying, he like this. So, shravanam Shravanam is the process, and when the mind is peaceful, very much inside, our Shravanam will get better. That's why when you go to Salsangam and all, you should not go rushing into it. You should take your own time so that when you get there peacefully, able to settle down and bring take away all that chittavritti what was created while driving or doing other things at home. You know what the problem is. I know this problem because when you have worked in this world, you know how difficult it is. People have to work all week, and then the weekend they're saying that how difficult it is to take Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam seriously, because that impact of the workplace has not left. It takes a few days to come out of that. You ask people who have taken a few weeks holidays and stayed at home, they'll tell you how it works. It's not very difficult to understand. But Shanti is important to understand this. Otherwise, when so much Rajogunam, Pravritti, action inside, and so absorbed in various things, the mind, in between I'm bringing some spiritual understanding of life, it won't go in. It won't let it in. It won't let the knowledge get in. Because it's not something to be understood with the mind and intelligence. That is the reason behind it. That is why it is mentioned like that. So, in the principle is this, that when chittavritti comes inside, these are all in a very finer level, what Krishna is talking about, in a very, very finer level. When every chittavritti, if you are able to hear, when thoughts are coming, if you are able to hear, because most of the time, when thoughts come, we are not conscious of it, isn't it? Thoughts come and we get absorbed in the thought. Immediately, anger comes, I become angry. Lust comes, I become lusty. Greed comes, I become greedy. Envy comes, I become envy. I immediately identify with that thought and I become that. That's what happens, isn't it? So Krishna is saying, if you have developed this finer quality, even every chittavritti comes, if you can see that chittavritti and start hearing that, in other words, start taking notice of it, so then you will see that this chittavritti is creating the sound to a large extent. So more and more we start hearing, we'll start hearing the chittavritti, the thoughts that is coming inside. And it is only after that inquiry will begin. In other words, when you start hearing this chittavritti that is coming in, I know it's all not going to happen to any one of us in this lifetime, but why I'm saying this is that when we are reading these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, you just have to know that how deep these verses are and how much deep impression it creates inside the great devotees, realized souls, how deeper level they have gone to explain these things to us. Says here that we keep hearing, and then when chittavritti comes, we start sensing these thoughts are coming in me and I am able to separate from them and ask this question, where these thoughts are coming from? Who is experiencing these thoughts? Where is it happening? So that's spurti. That is called a spurti. What is that spurti? Aham, aham, inside. Who is taking notice of this? You remember we discussed this before also, that all this hearing process, seeing process, touching process, tasting process, all other processes also, when it is happening, there is someone who is inside experiencing this, isn't it? That is that spurti or awareness or bodham, avabodham, different names what we call it in the shastram, bodham, awareness. And that is the most important thing, because it is through awareness we get to know of our own existence, isn't it? We know we exist. Why? Because we are aware of that. Awareness is there in us. Because I am aware, that spurti in me, it is called a spurti. That awareness is called a spurti. Spurti is that awareness. It's also called, between two thought waves it comes in. And that is also spurti. That is what shifts us from one thought to another thought. Say for example, I am sitting here, I am looking at it, I am looking outside, seeing the nice sunshine. And I'm suddenly my thought goes back, oh, it's a nice time to do some gardening. You get home, it's so beautiful weather, it's outside. So what moved me from this thought to the next thought? That is the spurti, which makes that shift from one thought to another. Similarly, in between, so many other thoughts can come. Going back, how to go back, or what I have to do at home, something. Some other thoughts may happen. So all these thoughts shifting from one to another all the time. In between that, Narada Maharshi says in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is also saying, this spurti that comes from the soul breaks every thought. It says goodbye to one thought, brings the next thought. It says goodbye to that thought, brings the next thought. And this process is called chittavritti inside. Chittavritti pravaha, it is called. Yogaha chittavritti nirodha, Paranjali's definition. If you have learned how to stop this chittavritti inside, nirodham, that is called yogam. That is Paranjali's definition. So here, initially you will hear the chittavritti, later on you will hear that spurti inside. When you hear that, or that silence inside. Initially it is very difficult. Thoughts will come into the mind. And when you try to hear those thoughts, so many other chittavrittis will happen. So they will come, they'll go. They'll come and they will go. But little by little, that Shraddha inside should come to what you are hearing from Bhagavad Gita. At the moment, you see what's happening? Even though you are present here, it is possible that your mind is somewhere else, isn't it? Or you are trying to concentrate on it. This is not concentration, don't get it wrong. Concentration is an activity of the mind. Concentration is an activity of the mind. Shraddha is an activity of the soul. Shraddha is an activity of the soul. So when the attention, when the chittavritti stops completely, and then if you are hearing, shravanam happens, and little by little, it won't happen overnight. A person who has got a lot of chittavritti inside, for him it will be very difficult to hear anything. He may physically present here, but he is not doing any shravanam, in other words. There is no shravanam happening at that time. There is no shravanam happening in a person. There is no shravanam happening. Shravanam is a very difficult process, you know. We say, oh shravanam, I heard all the stories in the Bhagavatam, we will say. Shrunodho vikata krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridyandastohi abhadrani vidhunodi suhrat sadam. This is how shravanam. Shrunodhasu katha krishna punya shravana kirtanam. If you read that in the first canto, in the second chapter, around shravanam, it says, Shrunodahi katham krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridyandastohi abhadrani vidhunodi suhrat sadam. Mentions there, the first canto. So, Shravanam. Shravanam is the key. It is through Shravanam it happens. So, and what happens is that Shravanam, not through concentration, but there is a way in a Kaushalam. Kaushalam means Kushalata, or in other words, expertise in hearing. Expertise in hearing that has to be developed in a person, himself or herself. They have to do it their own way, how to develop that Shravanam properly. And as soon as you keep on hearing Bhagavad Gita in that way, if you heard it properly, we will become internally Shanti will come, and Nishchalada, that silence will come from inside. And that is why you will see in the Bhajagovindam, in the verse, it says, Salsangatve Nisangatvam, Nisangatve Nirmohatvam, Nirmohatve Nishchalatvam, Nishchalatatve Jivanmukti. Jivanmukti state comes when there is Nishchalada inside. Nishchalada means that Shanti or peace that has come inside. This continuous flow of thoughts is stopped, and our Shravanam process has become very fine and fine. Very subtle level we can hear things. Don't take it as hearing through the ears like that, but hearing it goes directly into the heart. So here you will see that the final result of all salsangam is yetu aksharam anirdeshyam. You will see there the verse Krishna, the first line in the third verse, yetu aksharam anirdeshyam. Krishna uses the word. Krishna is trying to explain that what you're hearing about the soul, that process. So Arjuna mentioned that aksharam is avyaktam. He mentioned that, isn't it? In the evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paribhasade ejabi aksharam avyaktam. He said, it is aksharam, it is avyaktam. He mentions like that. So aksharam means is avyaktam. That means it's not manifested. It has no clear, you cannot understand with your mind intelligence, and it doesn't have a form as such. It is unmanifested, as they call it. And that is called Atma. So, people will ask this question that what is this Atma? People ask this question. Everybody will ask this question. What is this thing called Atma? Is it like a lamp which is burning inside? Or some people say like that, in order to give us an experience of this Atma, what they do, that you will see in the Bhagavatam and all this, there is picture. When Akasura died, a light from Akasura comes through the sky and joins Krishna's lotus feet. This is only a pictorial representation. Similarly, when Shishubala died, from Shishubala's body, a light came and joined at Krishna's lotus feet. Now, if you start thinking Atma is a light, then you have lost it. This is what the problem. Cinemas and these dramas and all that, they create all these kind of problems. Because they have to show everything what you can see, isn't it? Or what you can hear. So they will develop, for example, Hiranyakashipu, they will give him an imagination, imaginative form. And it may not be the same Hiranyakashipu who has taken Prahlada's father. Hiranyakashipu will get angry if some of the Hiranyakashipu we are creating. He will say, I am not like this, he will say. According to Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu was a very good looking person. So he is not going to be very happy if he starts, but because he is not here, he is not going to do anything to us. We can do what we like. But the thing is this, that everything when you bring it to the sensory level, through seeing, hearing and all that, this problem is there. So Atma, soul also, we want to bring it to the same level. That's why in the Bhagavatam you will see pictures there. Akasura died, a light comes from Akasura's body and joins Krishna's lotus feet. Isn't it? When that Akasura, the big snake who was killed. And similarly, also, but that is not what it happened there. It is not mentioned in the verses anywhere. There was a light coming from Akasura and merging with Krishna's feet. Or from Shishubala's, a light came from Shishubala and merged into Krishna's feet. It's not mentioned there. All it mentioned is Shishubala joined in Krishna's, merged in Krishna's form. That's all it mentions. But never say any light or anything. Light is what we have created so that it makes it easier to people to understand. To say that that's how it happened. So from there, what will happen is you will start misunderstanding that Atma is like a light. It comes from there. So this is all our imagination, isn't it? So in the beginning, we will think like that because nothing is there clearly for us to understand about it. So that is why it is mentioned avyaktam. Avyaktam, isn't it? As far as we are concerned, this world outside, this body is all vyaktam, is all very clear. We can see, we can feel, we can taste, we can experience that. And similarly, all our thoughts inside, we know that thoughts are coming through the intelligence, all these things we know at the moment. At the moment, in our present state, we know all these things. What all? The world we know, the body we know, and all the thoughts that's coming, we are conscious of all this, intelligence we know, all these things we say we know about it. But we don't know the person who knows all these things, that we don't know. We say we know about it, but we don't know the person who is knowing it. So, therefore, that is why it mentions there, that how to know the person who is knowing that, that is the question. Who is the person who knows all these things? Just like he says here, that objects are there. The light is there, therefore we can see the object. But can you see the object because just the light is there? No. In order to see the object, the light is necessary, but then you also need the eye to see that. To see the eye. To see the object, you need the eye. But then the question will come, there is light, There is I. Can you see the object? No. You can't see the object, because if that's the case, a dead person, he's got eye. He's got the eye, the light is there, but you have to hold his eyes open. Mm. If you take the hands off, it will close straight away. He said, no. Or it will go in a funny way. When the dead body, if you look at, you will see the eyes looks very funny. And when you see all that, you want to get it off the body as quickly as possible from home. Doesn't mean mother, father, brother, sister, doesn't matter. Once it's gone, it's gone. Best thing is to get it off early as possible. So, light is not the one because of that you are seeing, not because of the eye you are seeing. Both the light and the eyes are there. There is another thing called the mind inside, because of which you are experiencing the... That's how you are seeing that. Through the light, through the eyes, through the mind, you are getting a feel for it, isn't it? But if the mind is there, eyes are there, light is there, can you see? You can't. Because beyond this mind also, there is another thing behind it, which is the soul. Which is the soul. In Kathopanishad, it very clearly, precisely defines that. Only when he is present there, only in his presence the mind can work. Only in his presence the eyes can work. Only in his presence the experience can happen of the world outside. So, and that thing of the soul able to impart this power to the mind, to the intelligence, to the senses is called Nyukti. It's called Nyukti. Soul's another name is this Nyukti. You will study this in the Muchukunda's prayers. Nyukti. Nyukti is when soul gives power to the mind, power to intelligence, power to senses, and able to experience things of the worldly objects or experience of this world through all these mediums. When the soul is doing that, or in whose presence all these things happening, soul is addressed as Nyukti. There you have to call soul as Nyukti. Soul is addressed in different ways in different conditions. Yeah. So, when you are experiencing the world through the mind senses and you are knowing what is this creation and everything experience is coming to you, and when you know that it is happening due to the presence of the soul inside, soul is addressed as Nyukti. That's the word used at that time, Nyukti. So, here, that same Nyukti is what is called as Avabhodham, Aksharam. All these things, it is one and the same thing. If you understand it that way, it's enough. Because you can't define the soul. Therefore, with all these different characteristics, you have to understand, you have to get a feel for the soul. What we say, you get a feel for the soul. Even if you can't, get a clear understanding. Understanding means not to the mind, but clear experience of the soul. Only in this way, explaining in different aspects of the life through the body and the mind, how the soul is functioning, you'll get. So, in one level, it is awareness. That is called bodham or avabhodham. Awareness is the... It is through that avabhodham, you come to know about your own existence. I exist. I am. All the time conscious of yourself, isn't it? Which never leaves you at any time. That is called avabhodham. Nyapti is that one when it goes through the mind and the senses, and then you are experiencing the world. By whose presence the mind is able to do that? Through the eyes and the light, everything can see. Through the ears and the sound, it can hear. Through the tongue and the food, it can taste. All this is Nyukti of the soul. All soul is addressed as Nyukti at that time. So, here, for us now, we can't see the soul very clearly. But we can see the world very clearly. We cannot see the soul very clearly, isn't it? In everything, soul you can't see, but the world you can see. So therefore, if you remember, there is one philosophy in the Vedam, what is known as Charvagam. Charvagam came up because of this. His point was that he says like this: why should I run after something which I can't see? And why shouldn't I live in a world which I can see? This was his logic. You see, his point was, why should I run after something which I can't even see? Why not I be happy in a world where I can see? Why? So that is how this word charvagan. Charu vacham vachayati charvagam. That is how it is. Charu vacham vachayati. Charu vacham means one who can speak things in a very nice way. Because he is telling us something very nice. What is that? He says, enjoy your life. Charu vacham vachayati. Charvaga philosophy is like that. Enjoy yourself. So, because he can speak like that, he is called Charvagan. That is the name Charvaga has come. So, Charvaga's philosophy, that his philosophy is like this. There's only a very short period of life in this world. And as long as you have time here, eat well and sleep well. And even if you have to borrow money and buy a lot of ghee, enjoy the ghee, cook nicely in the ghee and have a big feast and sleep. He says, but as far as we are concerned today, we are even below Charvagan. Because at least Charvagan is saying enjoy the life. Today's world, imagine our situation. We can't even eat properly because we are so busy in life. We have no time to eat. We have no time to sleep. So at least in Charvaga philosophy, if we take, it is still better because Charvagan at least says that this world is enjoy. At least here you enjoy. Other things you forget about it. What happens later, don't worry about it. So therefore he mentions here that at least even we don't have time for that. Therefore he mentions there, we are running and running and running. What for we are running? We don't know. We don't know what for we are running. Charvagan says to us that if you eat well and sleep well, that is the best. Because practically you can see why we are running. Because of the vanity. Vanity inside. I have to achieve so many things. I have to do so many things. A lot of these vanities are also behind it. So, because the reason is, the world what we are seeing is clear to us. And so therefore, he says, worship this world, what you see, as Krishna's manifestation. That's why it was spoken like that. Krishna's manifestations. So, soul is not seen. You cannot see it. So, that you cannot say that it exists, therefore. So Arjuna is asking, e chapi aksharam avyaktam. One who is saying like this, they know something and they are talking about it. One who serves this soul, which is not clear, and at the same time, let me explain to you, Krishna says to them, and we will continue with that next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.